Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Want to be one of the best brewers there is.
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDonald, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host today, Justin Crosley, joined by JP, Jason JP Petros.
Hi.
Bevo's in the studio.
Hello.
And Teresa Pasuti is in the studio from Crooked Lane.
Hello, Justin.
What's that?
Said long time no see.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We just hung out all weekend.
We did.
Is this the first session ever where the ratio of male to female is exactly 50-50?
Yes.
First ever in 14 years.
Yes.
Wow. How about that?
All right. Plant that flag on the moon, baby.
Yeah, I guess, right?
We can stop bitching about that one.
That's right. There you go.
Done.
No other minority groups will be considered.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah, we're still all white
in
here.
We're done.
Trying.
Yeah.
Trying to get diversified.
Give us another 14 years.
Exactly.
We'll figure it out.
And then we'll have one person of color on
right.
the show.
So I'm really expecting someone to write in and talk about the pussification of the Brewing Network.
Oh, that'll happen next. Yeah. You guys, you've thrown in the towel. You've jumped the shark.
We like that. The founder of Founders. Did you hear that article? The CEO of Founders or whatever?
No. Is this recent?
It's recent. Yeah, it's actually really recent. He fired a guy, a black guy, and then the black guy suing Founders for racial discrimination.
Okay.
And the lawyer for the, what, defendant? No, plaintiff? The guy suing, right? The guy who got fired?
Okay.
He, like, released a transcript of the back and forth between the lawyer and I think his name is Ryan at Founders, and like, did you know that my client was black? He goes, I don't know what you mean. Explain that. Like, African-American. He goes, I can't understand. I don't know his heritage.
Okay. I can't figure
out. But you've met him before. Okay, yes, I have met him before. And you could tell him apart from a crowd, what do you mean? Just like very like Bill Clinton, like define sex.
Right.
It was basically define black, define right. African American.
Sure.
No
and,
way.
Yeah, it was pretty ruthless, dude. And it's like you can tell the lawyer's going, I don't know. This is a very simple question. It's a one word answer. If you could recognize, like if you've met the guy, if you could tell that he's not a white man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where his ethnicity lies.
Sure.
God.
That's amazing.
This is not helping you.
Yeah.
No, it's bad.
Wow.
There's a lot of memes about it now.
Oh, really?
Imagine, yes, you can imagine.
Okay,
but there you go. That would be us. We're like, we don't know. What is race?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone's great.
What is gender? We don't know that either.
That's right.
Nobody knows anything anymore. Well, we did have a nice weekend though, hanging out at the Sierra Hop Harvest Festival. It was Beardy's last hurrah with us. He's now gone and dead to us.
Yeah.
Not actually dead to us.
Right.
But we had a good time up there, right? It's a good event that Sierra puts on.
It's amazing. Like, well, obviously, I mean, they do everything amazing, but this, yeah. I was just bowled over. It was so much fun.
Great beer.
Yeah, we were talking a lot about how well managed it is for a fest like that, the quality of the beer and how well managed it was just from you know, how the tent was set up, how the brewers were set up. There was enough room in between the lines. They didn't have a lot of space to work with, and they got everybody in there, and it was some fests, not ours, of course, you can feel cramped and crap, and like you're waiting in line for beer.
It wasn't like that at all.
Not like that at all. I maybe waited, the most I ever waited was maybe a minute for a popular beer, and that's totally fine. That's, I mean, reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, you know who had a monster line for a minute? It was Moxa.
Really?
We've had them on the show. I like their beer, but they're like, I guess they're all the rage now or what?
Oh,
because nobody else had a line.
Yeah.
And my experience was yours, you know, but I did walk by that line and it was like out the tent.
Really?
Yeah.
They must have like done a special release.
Oh, maybe that. Yeah,
like
maybe.
Timed release.
That makes sense. Maybe, because also they're a Northern California brewery, so it's not like, for example, Garage Project out of New Zealand had beer there.
Yeah.
Really good beer, in my opinion. And at the Firestone Invitational is the only time I ever see that brewery, and that has a line around the whole event.
Yeah.
But here you could just walk right up and get it, and the line was at Moxa.
Yeah.
But again, it's not like you can't go to Moxa. You can.
It's, sure.
If you can get to Sierra, you can get to Moxa.
It's right there. You know. Yeah.
But anyway, good for them. I'm happy that they're popular and it's good beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was well run in that sense. I think my two favorite beers were a sour beer from Garage Project that I guess they inoculated just by putting a hop bine into the beer.
Oh, super interesting.
And then aged it.
Okay.
And it was a really clean sour, I thought, with that kind of inoculation. Like, it wasn't a whole bunch of different things competing, but it was pretty clean. I like that. And then Urban Roots had a Pilsner that I just kept going back for.
The Czech Lager?
That's a Czech Lager.
10 degree, yeah.
It was just, what, like 3.8% or something? I don't know what.
Yes.
And it was just great. You know, I went around and did a few lagers, actually. Bagby had a nice fest beer.
That was amazing.
It was a good lager, too. And then, because there's a lot of, it's a harvest festival, right? So there's a lot of good hoppy beers also, but
right.
Because I work at the thing and my panels were like really spread out, I had like 2 hours in between one panel and the next, and I was like, well, you got to stay sober, Crosley, so why don't you go around and find the lagers here instead
sober,
of all the double IPAs.
Right, sober but still drinking.
Yeah, that's, of course, I'm not going to sit around, you know. So I had to do that. Teresa and I were talking about that earlier before the show that, you know, not everybody in the industry knows to stay sober at an industry event.
This is true.
Now, this is obviously a public event, right? And so if you're in the public, I don't care what you do, although I tend to not get drunk at beer festivals even when I'm the public.
Yeah.
But when you're working the event, and I was saying to Teresa that it's surprising that it's not always obvious to everybody that if you work in the industry, you shouldn't get hammered at a festival.
Yeah.
Especially one that maybe you're representing at, right? Like either your brewery or the Brewing Network or whatever. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, I'm just sort of throwing this out there for industry professionals as a whole.
Yes.
Just remember, it's still kind of a job.
Yeah. just consider this you're talking to, so your boss doesn't have to, right?
That's right. If you're in the industry and you found yourself a little too drunk, I'm your boss right now.
That's right.
And I'm telling you,
you're going to get a spanking.
I'm telling you to take it easy.
Yeah.
I've always known that. I don't know why, but I've always known, you know, don't get hammered. Well, first of all, in public in general, I kind of tend to find my way home by the time I'm gonna get hammered.
Right.
But certainly for work. Now, I'm not saying I haven't had a strong buzz. I'm not saying I haven't felt real good. But I don't know that I've ever stumbled out of a work event. you know.
Yeah, I pretty much, basically, yeah. And it's, I can understand it, especially at a fest like that, where there are a lot of the brewers there, like Julian from Beechwood was there, Jeff Bagby from Bagby was there. Not a lot of beer fests can say that.
And you get a chance to mingle with them
as a
professional.
And they're your friends, and you don't see each other all that often and whatever, and so you're like, hey, man, let's go check beers. And then you're behind a tent, and you're like, or behind their booth, and you're drinking beer. And I can understand how it gets away from you.
Yeah.
But you have to just sort of figure out where you are.
Go find the light lager for a couple of pours. That's all.
Go eat.
Go straight to the 10 degrees, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I
would cross the tent. I would cross the entire property to do that, because I'd go hang out with a brewer that I knew or a new brewer that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And they'd hand me their double IPA, right? And then I'd 4 ounces at a time, right? It's a little glass. Then I'd walk all the way across the fest to go back for the Urban Roots, like 3.8% beer, because I had a job to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, most of our listeners maybe don't care about this, but if you're a professional, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. You know, go find some lagers at these events and just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'd say is, if somebody does end up getting silly, don't take a video and send it home to their family.
Does that happen too?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I disagree.
There could be a time where you're singing karaoke that maybe you didn't want to share with everybody.
Right. I don't know if I'm in agreement on this one. If you're drunk enough to do it in public, you're drunk enough for me to show somebody.
Yeah, so it's kind of your fault. So
you know,
fell into the previous category.
I'm in between there. If I dragged you to a strip club, maybe I shouldn't send a video home to your family. That's on me.
Right.
But if you you know, you get drunk and act like an idiot.
Well, but still, you're going to assume, there's an assumption of maintenance there, of like self-maintenance, where if you're out in public and you're an adult and you're drinking, that you know the limit.
Right.
You ever get the feeling you're being watched?
Yes.
Okay. Someone's staring at us through the window, and I don't know why this is happening.
All right. Well, we have a great show planned for you today. I want to thank Sierra Nevada for having us out. It was a really nice time, and they are good people to be around.
Yeah.
So thanks to Byron, especially. He was our Sherpa for the weekend. Yeah. If you ever make your way to Sierra Nevada and Chico for a tour, make sure you tell Byron that we said hello, and he's a great dude. The whole crew out there, Ken Grossman, Terrence, Molly, you were all very nice to us, and I appreciate it. Okay, tonight on the show, we've got Alvarado Street Brewery. They're out of Salinas and Monterey. That's up here in California, the Monterey Peninsula there.
Sure.
And they got three locations we'll talk about now. Great beer. I've liked their beer here for a while. We sell a lot of it at the Hop Grenade. People just love it.
Yeah.
I think we get cans in every Thursday, and they're gone by Saturday or something.
Nice.
Very popular brewery. I'm drinking their Pilsner right now, which is, I think, stellar. So we'll be talking to them today. I want to thank our sponsor, More Beer, who brings you this session and every session that you do. Go check out their Extra Pale Malt. It's a modern two-row base malt designed for very light-colored beers. It's got all the things you'd expect, but keeps it really light, and lighter than most Pilsner malts, even. You can go to morebeer.com and check it out. And don't forget to look at their Comos line of commercial-grade draft boxes. Stainless steel coils chill your beer to perfection, while the rest of the 100% stainless components deliver the beer to the glass in style. Check it out at morebeer.com.
Yeah, they're badass.
Okay. Let's do some announcements, shall we? Announcements brought to you today by Drake's Brewing Company. Go to drinkdrakes.com and check it out. And now at the Barn up in Sacramento, they're open every Tuesday from 5 to 8 with Food Truck Tuesdays, a rotating selection of food trucks. You can go learn all about it at drinkdrakes.com. Well, the first thing in my list of announcements, Teresa, is that Crooked Lane Brewing Company, if you've heard of them, is having their third anniversary party.
Whoa!
And Oktoberfest.
Oh, damn.
Which is happening, this Saturday?
This Saturday.
What's the date this Saturday?
It's the 26th. We're going to have
26th.
We're going to have an authentic German polka band, followed by the Tattered and Tied, which is a really great couple of guys in our area.
Okay.
We're going to have...
They're just going to stay there. They're going to hang
out. We're
going
to have 9 German beer styles on tap.
Nice.
So everything from Doppelbach to Helles and Kolsch. Couple of really great beers in there we've been sitting on for a long time. People have been trying to get a hold of. So.
All right.
Nice.
And goats.
Goats.
We secured the goats, so we will definitely have some goats, too.
Where are you going to put the goats? Walking around the brewery?
No, they'll be out in the beer garden. So last year we like stacked up some hay so you could like hang out with the goats in the hay and
nice.
And we'll all be in our finery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got my dirndl.
You got your dirndl?
I'm going to this.
I see on my calendar that you're on your way to Reno, so I figured.
I am.
So you're gonna stop in?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm driving. We're driving to Reno to go see a concert on Saturday. So
seriously, oh my gosh, I am so excited.
Are you gonna wear a dirndl?
I own a dirndl, so no.
Amazon, you got time.
You got time.
Yeah.
The cheapest dirndl in the entire universe.
Yeah. It's Halloween. There's probably tons of them sale, right? Yeah.
Oh, totally. So. Like the super short, sexy dirndl.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Slutty dirndl.
Slutty dirndl. Yeah. Hey, I have lederhosen you can borrow.
Yeah, I'll wear those.
Wear opposite. Really I bet you if I ordered Sam a sexy dirndl, he would totally wear it.
100%.
No, I've got the sexy lederhosen he can wear. They're like shorty shorts lederhosen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are a real thing, by the way. Not every German wears the long ones. Short ones are a thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got the long ones myself.
I would definitely rock the long ones.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to pick up a real nice pair, but they're very expensive.
They are.
But worth it.
I ended up getting them in Austria and found that they're like a fraction of the price for authentic leather lederhosen. You don't buy them in Germany.
Right.
And you don't even buy them online unless you're going to buy the fake kind.
Right.
But should you find yourself in Austria, you can get a deal.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just right across the border, but they just,
Just because.
It's a thing.
They don't have anything.
If you don't
anymore.
Count the plane ticket, it's super good.
Right. Well, yeah, be there for something else grab the lederhosen.
Right.
So.
Well, that's exciting, Teresa. Congratulations.
So this Saturday, which I think is the 26th.
Yep.
What time does it start?
We're open at noon. The festivities really start at about 2:30, 3:30.
Okay.
Till 10.
Okay.
So.
Will you stay sober until 10?
I can't guarantee anything, but I'm a professional,
right.
So you can't really tell.
Sure.
Yeah. I might just have one hand on the table.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
The You're old, like, hi,
the old
here,
hold up.
No? Yeah, yeah, I can post up pretty well.
I like it. All right. In the rest of our announcements, you can support us by doing your Amazon shopping. Click the Amazon link on our homepage. That's a great way to support us. You can also subscribe and join the BN Army for as little as $2 a month. You're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway. The more you donate, the more you're given, more chances you're given, and that gives you a chance to get $100 to spend over at More Beer. So that's a great way to support us. You can also just listen to our other shows, all these shows, and share them with your friends. We've got Hop and Brew School, Heads and Tails, Dr. Homebrew, Brew Strong, The Sour Hour, all kinds of good stuff here. So tell your friends if they want a free beer education. we've been doing that for 14 years.
That's right.
You know, sign up over our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That's all we do, right? We don't do any like click
Snapchat,
clock or whatever.
Click clock is very different. Yeah. Snapchat or WhatsApp or,
we don't
or
do that
I don't know.
Stuff.
Tumblr. I think we might be on Tumblr.
Are we in Tumblr?
No. I don't think it's around anymore. Well,
find us on your social media things.
Yeah.
Twitter
game today?
Great. Twitter game is brought to you by the Wine and Hop Shop. Go to wineandhop.com, and most of their items ship within 24 hours. Brewing Network listeners get $8 flat rate shipping on orders under 25 pounds. Just enter BN Shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart, and the discount will be taken post-checkout. If you're in Madison, Wisconsin, order your homebrew supplies online at wineandhop.com, and then pick them up at Working Draft Beer Company, located on Wilson Street, right across from Central Park. They'll waive the shipping and give you half off your first beer. Go to wineandhop.com. All right, what's our Twitter game?
Well, as you know, Justin, as you mentioned before, it was Warren's Ding Dong Shindig last weekend, and he had all of his personal belongings packed up into the RV, dragging the trailer or dragging his car behind him.
Yep.
And he left to go north from Chico. And Candy left to go south from Chico.
Yes, she's still here.
That's right, she's still here.
Left her behind.
That's right. So it's Warren's new chapter.
Now, just to be clear, folks, he's not single. Candy has a job.
Candy has a job,
and he's going up there to find a place to open a distillery.
Yeah,
so, just so you know,
I assumed that it was covered, so I didn't clarify. I apologize.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to answer that email for 3 weeks.
Do you mean that Beardy is like? Can I?
Right.
Candy is the saint. We have named her the most supportive person on the planet.
Yeah,
she's something. That's for sure.
You know, me. I have named her.
Right. Yeah. By we, I.
I mean the royal
I missed the committee
the
meeting,
meeting,
so I don't know.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, so I was thinking about just cinematically Warren, you know, leaving Byron's house, pulling away, leaving, going up north for, you know, his trip, his new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a song playing.
Mm.
He needs a theme song. So I want you guys to give me a title, a song title for whatever song you imagine Warren was listening to or would be his sort of like traveling song as he leaves town to start on this epic journey.
Is it?
It could be fake.
I was going to say,
it could
is
be real.
It could be a professionally recorded song, or you could make up the title of this song.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. All right. What was Beardy's exit theme?
That's right.
Okay. All right, let's do a little feedback before the break. Feedback's brought to you today by Beer Law Center. Go to beerlawcenter.com, and my friend John Simankiewicz over there will take good care of you like he does my trademark, and you can do your brewery filings, and he's also just a nice person, you know, if you want to say hi.
Just email him hi.
Yeah, he'll probably answer.
He probably will.
He's got a good team over there.
Yeah.
All right, so Dan writes in. Speaking of Beardy leaving, he says, I've become a big fan of Heads and Tails, but the departure of Beardy for his own selfish reasons has me worried about the future of Heads and Tails. So his question, JP, is will the show go on?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard. We've mentioned before, and I'm not going to get too into it, but it's hard for us to be booking guests right now.
Mm.
But when we do have guests, Warren will be calling in.
Skyping into
Skyping
the studio.
In, and
the,
yeah, so it will be Warren and I, and then whoever else, you know, our guests. We were talking about, actually, because there are a lot of distillers up in that area, obviously, which is probably one of the reasons he's going up there. So he might maybe go do local shows, so he can go and sit with the distiller at the distillery, and then I can sort of, you know, help moderate, I guess, because at that point, he knows so much more about this stuff than I do.
And I hope so. He's about to do it professionally.
Right, yeah. And I'm just here to ask the dumb question. So, you know, I think that could be a cool little kind of twist on it.
Okay.
To make sure that we actually get guests. So it'll be going on just sort of sporadically. We have not given up on it.
Okay.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah. All right. Nate from Copenhagen writes in. I guess during our segment about Ron, I heart Ron.
Yeah.
You know, David mentioned he's going to brew a beer for Ron.
Right, right.
In Ron's honor, and I guess Kim Schimke had suggested that Ron PA should actually be an ESB, extra special bitter.
Okay, I get it.
And Nate says, "Holy crap, she knows a thing," and managed to make a joke on that one thing.
Yeah.
And it was a good job. Good job, Kim. Kim gives good jobs even to Ron, he goes on to say. And then I don't know what this is. And when she's done, she'll have Dave Marley Avuvu ferment a beer with it. I don't know what it is or what she's done with. Not to tarnish Kim's unexpected glory, but extra special bus bitter would fit Ron like a glove.
Extra special bus bitter.
Yes.
Bus bitter?
Okay. Extra special bus bitter.
Is this like
bitter.
A Google Translate fail?
It could be.
It could be.
Well, extra special bus. He's saying special,
special
bus, I think,
right.
is his joke there.
But
still.
I think you're right. I think we're missing
some of the
phrase in there.
Like he forgot
like that.
To type a whole paragraph.
Yeah. I'm also going to guess that he was drunk.
I also think it was a really backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But
it was.
I don't know.
Which usually are reserved
them.
For me. The backhanded ones.
No.
Yeah.
He's a Danish guy, so
yeah.
I don't think my comeback is really going to fit because it was a German guy.
Dig. Oh.
Okay.
All no, right. that won't fit.
Yeah, it can't fit.
I don't even think the Danes like the Germans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I guess there's dick guys everywhere. What are you going to do?
Right. Well, Nate from
Copenhagen.
That explains it.
Copenhagen. Yeah. Thank you for writing in. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. And you got Teresa right there.
Yeah.
She gone.
Okay. Hey, gents and Teresa and Bevo. I'm a longtime listener, have been homebrewing since 2001, and planning on opening a brewery at some point in the future. You and everybody else, buddy.
Yeah.
The reason I'm writing is because I just visited Secret Trail Brewing, who you had on a few months ago. Long story short, I live in Oakland and had an occasion to travel up north to look after my mom following a routine surgery. And once my mom was well on her way to recovery, and they cleaned up all the bandages. Like, I don't need all to know all this. Can't you just say you went
she
to fucking Secret
Trail? She wanted an In-N-Out burger style, so I got the In-Burger, and it took 5 minutes and was really, really good.
I had to accrue a lot of vacation days, and I took all 13 of my vacation days, and then
very creatively. So this is what I did. I worked every other Friday.
And then I went on kayak.com. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it compares flight details. And so in order for me to get where I needed to go, I searched for 14 days on kayak.com.
My friend said use Trivago, but I didn't want to go there.
Anyhow, I finally made the trek over to visit and sample a few of Secret Trail's beers. Not only did I experience their amazing beers, but I mentioned to the folks at the brewery that I had heard them on the session a few weeks before. And the way I did that was I told them that I used to listen to things on an iPod, but now the times have changed. I just carry it all on my phone. It's really amazing. I go to iTunes and I just plug my phone in, and it's like all there all the time. That's how I listen to you on the session.
Yeah, my brain sent a message to my lungs to take in oxygen. So what I did is I filled my lungs up with oxygen, and then as I expelled my lungs from the oxygen from my lungs, my voice box vibrated different sounds, and those made words, and then I was able to articulate the fact that I heard you on the session.
But I almost couldn't hear you because my phone was dying that day. I only had 3% left. And my car charger wasn't working anymore. But luckily, a friend of mine had a car charger that I could use.
Sorry, that was my brain again telling me that I had to refill my lungs and push it to my voice box.
Anyway, he goes, hey, they totally rolled out the red carpet for me. I got the opportunity to meet the owners and the brewer, Jake Dickman, as you'll remember, nice. Who personally gave me a tour around the brewery on Leif Erikson Day, no less. Jake Dickman's son is named Leif, and they have a pale ale named after him. I talked to him a long time. I talked to Jake for a while. By the way, every time he mentions Jake, he uses his full name. After the tour, Jake Dickman introduced me to three guys who are in there. You do.
Yeah, it's almost like doctor, where they've earned that title. I feel like if you're a man and the word dick is in your name, especially your last name,
you have to use it.
You've experienced trial by fire for a long time, and it's called middle school.
Yeah.
And then, so you've earned the right to be called Dickman.
Yeah. Anyway, after the tour, Jake Dickman introduced me to three guys who were in the middle of opening another brewery in the area, and the five of us sat around drinking beer and talking shop for about an hour. At the end of the afternoon, Jake Dickman invited me back to brew with him next time I come up to Chico.
Man, I should have.
Whoa,
I should have. I should have edited that. I apologize.
Which is an amazing experience for an aspiring pro. It goes on. I had such a great time that I just had to reach out and say thanks for everything you guys do to promote local craft and introduce people like me to the amazing community beer. Keep up the good work from Ryan. Thank you, Ryan.
Good job, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Typed words.
Okay. I already read this email last week, JP. The Ron reply. So if you missed last week's show and you're following along in the I Heart Ron saga, you're going to want to go back and listen to last week's feedback where Ron wrote in his nearly incomprehensible reply.
It felt like an apology. I skimmed it because I wanted to be surprised on the air, but it sounded more like an apology.
Not really.
No?
No. I mean,
yeah, it was as sorry, not sorry.
For example, the highlights are he takes a dig at Dave's wife.
Whoa.
In the first paragraph.
Wow.
In a you know, subtle sort of backhanded way.
Oh, okay.
Then essentially says, you know, his overreaction to Dave not saying something, he ranks about a 7. But Dave's overreaction of getting his name tattooed to his ass, he ranks a 28.
Oh, 100%.
but that's
Dave.
Correct.
Yeah, right. And I told Dave, this is not an appropriate response.
Right. It's not measured and appropriate.
But it is a Dave response. We had to put every slight of somebody on our body, I think we'd all be covered.
We would be,
in Ron tattoos.
Yeah.
The highlight for me personally was him not recalling sending the email.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was an apology, because I read that part, thank you, and then I was like, oh, I was drunk, I saw where it was going, but clearly I'm worn now and I can't see shit.
Yeah, it's kind of, it meanders around an apology is what it does.
All right. I love it. Okay, there you go.
But it was good stuff, anyway. And thank you for the ongoing, Ron, you can keep writing in, man.
Yeah.
I'll be reading it. All right, and then finally, Mick, I think it's Mick, it's M-I-K, writes in, hey, BN crew, I recently purchased a German Roots. I don't think that's the name of the brewery. I think it's like the description of a variety 12-pack from a brewery. It was their German Roots variety 12-pack from a brewery that I very much like, only to find upon arriving home that it contained a damn hazy IPA. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think hazy IPA is a classic German-style beer.
No.
Well, when will the madness end?
That's the only way they can probably get rid of it now. It's just to package it with a bunch of other lagers.
Now,
which is very ironic.
Is it possible that it is a Keller beer? And Mick here...
But a Keller IPA?
Saw, like, I wonder if the description says hazy IPA, or did he pour a cloudy beer and assume
it was an IPA and then,
I don't know.
And they didn't drink it.
I don't know. Because you're right,
possible.
It shouldn't be in a German Roots, unless they're making the stretch that's like, well, Keller beer was unfiltered, so it's somewhere along the lineage has roots in, you know.
Yeah, sort of, I guess, but I think Keller beer is the beer that's still technically conditioning. That's why it's cloudy, right? It's like young fermenting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna have the same. It's not gonna have IPA hop aroma and flavor. So there really isn't any mistaking that. I don't think.
So, all right, I just did a quick look.
Okay.
For because I don't know what brewery to put in, right? So I put in German Roots mixed 12-pack.
Yeah. I mean, I get, like, I did sort of the same thing.
But I'm seeing...
Do we say it?
Saranac, right?
Yeah, that's what I get.
But I'm not seeing... I see a Wild Hop Pils. I see an Oktoberfest. I see a Schwarz beer. I see a Keller beer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably
so
the Keller beer.
So look at that.
Beer.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're correct.
There's more. Let's see. What else is in here? No, I guess that's really the only one I see.
So I wonder if he just assumed it was a hazy IPA, which is still sort of his point, where like,
but yeah,
it's ruining shit.
Well, I see. You're saying that he has now been misled by the rest of the industry, not by this German Roots 12-pack.
Yes.
I see.
Well, and I kind of come to terms with I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because
we want to talk to you about
Secret
it for a long
trail.
Time.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm part of the problem, and I'm part of the solution. But
okay.
So with Secret Trail, who we all love, we did a collab.
Okay.
And you know what nonsense we came up with that's highly offensive to Germans?
Don't do it.
Well, we did. We did a hazy IPA with all German malts and hops.
Oh, man.
And we called it Lederhosen.
I kind of like that, though.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful, and it was also horrible.
Okay.
Like,
but a lot of people really liked it, as you would expect.
You're saying it's horrible for what you're doing in the industry, but you liked the beer. The beer was wonderful.
No, I mean, I did like the beer. I liked how it came out. We used a Kolsch yeast. We did, all German malts and then German hops, but we picked some, like, fun, newer varieties that are a little, you know, fruity. And
did you hear, you were on the panel, so I hope so.
Yeah.
But the brewer sitting next to you on the panel at Sierra Nevada, his name was Joe from Pint House Pizzeria and Brewery.
Yeah.
That he, and his beers I really like, by the way, and they were hazy and hoppy and dank. Did you hear him say he uses all Kolsch yeast?
I did.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
That was interesting.
It's not the first time I've heard that.
Oh,
and,
really? Okay.
The issue I have with it personally is I've done some hazy beers. Like, I mean, we have tons of Kolsch yeast.
Okay.
If I could cut one yeast out of the lineup.
It would be that one?
It would be. No. I would keep the Kolsch yeast and I'd dump the hazy yeast. But I feel like the Kolsch yeast causes it to clarify a little more. So
I've
had trouble because
his statement about it. We didn't have a lot of time, so I'm gonna have to get this guy on the show. I liked his beer and I liked him. His sort of qualifying statement was that he liked the other ingredients to shine, and it sounded to me like he felt that Kolsch yeast allowed that, like the hops to just do their thing.
Yeah, and it was. it was hard for me, and maybe I my brain stopped at Kolsch yeast, and I didn't hear what he said after, but it sounded like his house yeast was Kolsch yeast, but I don't know that he used it in that hazy IPA.
No, I think he did.
He said in all his beer.
And I'm pretty much
he said in all his beer. Yeah. Because I think that why he would, in my mind, why he would say that is to say, but we didn't that for the first time, and this is the beer or whatever. Oh. So I don't know. That's how I interpreted it.
Okay.
But I would love it if he used Kolsch yeast, because everyone thinks it's very, 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 very yeast dependent, but apparently it's also more maybe how you handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's 100% yeast dependent. I mean, okay. I know a lot of breweries that
make all
their...
No, not 100%, but like a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of breweries use Cal Ale to make their hazies. The reason I agree with using Kolsch yeast for hazy IPAs is it actually is very fruity. So it would help the fruitiness of the beer.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe I tuned out. Hey, we're going to have this hazy, but I don't know.
All right, Bebo, put Pint House Pizzeria and Brewery on your list. They're out of Austin, I think he said.
Yes.
Does that sound right? Yeah. The funny thing, he did I guess it was a collab beer that they did with Sierra Nevada.
Who Dis Be?
They named Who Dis Be.
Yeah.
Because apparently Joe was a young brewer, by the way. I'll just point that out, especially compared to an industry luminary like Ken Grossman. Apparently Joe and Ken had exchanged numbers, but Joe didn't exactly like save the number. And so Ken texted him a bunch of questions, and Joe's answer was, Who Dis Be? And Ken's like... it's Ken Grossman. And you know that Joe instantly like turned inside out like as a brewer.
He's like,
oh shit. Not that Ken cares, by the way. It's just one of those things where like an idol of yours texts you and you're like, who's this?
Yeah.
So Ken named the beer Who Dis Be, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. That's all the feedback I have for you today.
All right.
Thanks for writing us in, though. You can send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can send your show ideas there also to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. All right. Let's take ourselves a pretty quick break here. And when we come back, we've got Alvarado Street Brewery on the show. And I'm excited to drink more of their beer because so far their Pilsner is it's tuning me up.
Hell
I won't
yeah.
say I'm hungover because we chilled a little. Well, we didn't drink much yesterday. We drove home.
We didn't drink heavily yesterday.
Yeah.
Like a couple lunch beers. Yes. And some tank beers.
Right.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, tank beers.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hang in there. It's the session. Right. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tuned into this session
because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the session. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thanks to our sponsor, Beersmith. Go to beersmith.com right now and get your free 21-day trial of the best brewing software in the industry. But you don't have to take my word for it because you get a free trial. Go to beersmith.com right now and check it out. All right. As promised, Alvarado Street Brewery is in the studio with us. And we've got JC, Biggie, and Party Wave Dave. Hanging out. And you know what? I didn't even bother asking for full names. We're just leaving it like that. Because it seemed like that was your guys' thing too, right? Like,
I think it says Party with Dave on your business card.
Does it?
And Biggie on your business card.
That is correct.
What's the job description of Party Wave Dave? Just out of curiosity.
My fault.
You have a special microphone. Try again.
Well, on the business card, it says concierge and global partying. So I will...
Excellent.
Yeah, hospitality.
I like that.
Entertainment. Yeah, guru.
Your job is to, what, just show people a good time?
Yeah. Okay. Do, like, logistics for, like, events and...
Okay. We haven't really defined his job description in a while. I probably need to give him, like, an updated job description.
I don't know. I feel like you guys are doing fine, right, so far.
Yeah, I don't know how much more specific you can get than Party Wave Dave.
Yeah, right.
I'll
That's
take it.
Distinct.
It's nice.
And Biggie, what's your job with Alvarado Street?
I am lead production brewer at the production spot in Salinas.
In Salinas, okay.
Yeah, so pretty much anything that's in a can is something that I probably made work for.
Okay. We sell a hell of a lot of your cans here, I think. We get them in on Thursdays. They're gone by Saturday, so thank you for that.
Nice.
Least I could do.
And then J.C. Hill, you're a co-founder and director of brewing operations, co-founder along with your dad, right?
Yeah,
Family biz?
Yeah, my dad and I started the business in 2014. We started with our pub in Monterey.
Okay.
It's kind of restaurant. 10-barrel system, brew pub, and then we opened our production brewery in 2016 and started cranking out some cans. And
are you from Monterey?
Fun. I'm from Northern California originally. I'm from like Menlo Park area on the peninsula.
Okay.
And then I lived in San Diego for 6 years, started my brewing career down there before moving up here in 2014.
Do you still like your dad now that you've been working together for a couple of years?
My dad and I get along great. Absolutely.
Was that always the case?
Yeah. It was kind of like it was something we always talked about, opening up a brewery together, and it happened, you know, a lot sooner than I thought it was. I only had a couple of years of brewing experience at the time. I don't know if I was really ready at the time, but we just kind of went for it.
You were a home brewer for a while, though.
Home brewer for a while, and then I opened a small brewery up in San Diego with a really good college friend who was a San Diego native, and it was called Amplified Ale Works, and took a lot of inspiration from Alpine and Ballast Point, Homebrew Mart, a lot of those guys, yeah.
But your first one, and maybe it's part of what you just said, your first location you opened was like an on-campus beer and rotisserie or something?
Yeah, it was a donor kebab shop, if anyone's familiar.
Oh, donairs.
Yeah. Bringing hangover food to the college kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
They dug it. It's still there to this day. And actually, not the college campus one, but the one we opened in Pacific Beach.
Were you a student there and opened?
No, I went to college on the East Coast and graduated, did like a desk job for about a year and a half, and then half my company got laid off in the 2008, recession. I went and I traveled, got inspired, talked, a good friend of mine into doing this crazy venture with us.
But was it a brewery on campus too, or just this donut kebab
shop? We had like six taps, and we kind of treated it like a beer bar, and we rotated the taps. And I think at one point I even threw my homebrew on tap, which was like definitely not.
Probably not. Yeah.
Not illegal.
That's fine. Yeah. No one
Very
knows.
Very illegal.
But then you opened an off campus thing, and that you had a little brew system in, though.
Yeah, we had a little 3-barrel kit behind our kitchen. I think it was like a storage room, and we literally had 2 fermenters in the bar, so we would have to brew in a kitchen, knock out through a hose into a really crowded bar.
Right.
And people were there. I mean, we had like, I think the first, dry hop explosion we had was like on a Friday night, and it just like erupted. Geyser.
Excellent.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
Covered everybody.
Yeah.
That's great.
Still didn't learn from that lesson. But
Melvin Brewing kind of started the same way, with a little more beer system in the back of a Thai food restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that thing, it still exists, by the way.
Nice.
Tie Me Up is the name of the restaurant.
There has to be some cool
With Jeremy and Melvin, yeah. But anyhow, I'm just saying, like, you're not the only one who have started with this, like, 3-barrel system.
It was awesome, man. I had some of the best years of my life down there.
Okay.
And still super close with all those guys. And Amplified Ale Works, that's the name of the brewery down in San Diego, and they're still rocking, making some great beer down there in San Diego.
But you ultimately left because, your dad said,
I had the opportunity to open Alvarado Street with my dad. And,
okay.
Couldn't say no to that, so it was kind of bittersweet, but, it was definitely something that I was psyched to do. And Monterey was kind of like a beer desert.
It was
going on.
There was another, I don't know if it's still there, so I won't go too far into it, but there was like another brewery there for a long time, that I went to like once. Let's just leave it at that.
They're still there. You're probably talking about Peter B's. They make some fantastic beer. They're right down the street from us.
Oh, so they got a new brewer. That's good.
no, same guy.
I've been to your Monterey location, I think. It looked like brand new, though, but I thought you were kind of saying that's your first location, where there's like a restaurant up front
it's
and a little
nice.
Beer like garden in back.
Yep, exactly.
It like looks spanking brand new. It's so clean and nice. That's your first location, though.
That's our first location, yeah.
Okay. And I went there. I dragged my I was with family, and they were like, okay, Justin, with the beer thing, whatever. But I had to go because I'd never been. You had a brown ale on. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, Iron Crown Brown. It's named after a local.
We renamed that brown ale
several
times.
Yeah,
JP, you're a jam.
I love brown
killer ales. Killer beer. You know, and I'm looking down the list. You had a ton of good beer on, and most of it hoppy. But I was like, I got to try the one that's like not like all the others, and so good. That's
thanks,
a great
man.
Beer.
Thank you. Yeah. That's
I just had two pints of that and didn't even touch another beer at the
place.
It
was actually a guest tap from Beer Please.
Yeah, right, right. I did almost leave with a six-pack of Monterey beer.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
That's our light lager. Local light lager. It's a like a heritage brand from the 1930s and 40s that we kind of revived and
okay.
tracked down the family who was related to the old, it was the Salinas Brewing Company. On and off from like the late 1800s, and
okay,
the can art is literally the same can art as like those cone top cans from the early 40s.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
It's rad.
So do you make that, Biggie? Because it was in 6-pack cans. I saw.
Yes,
you're making that at the Salinas facility.
Mm-hmm.
So you open with a brew pub, basically.
Correct,
in
yeah.
Monterey.
Uh-huh.
There's a brew system there.
Yeah,
because I didn't even see that.
A 10-barrel system. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right there. It's behind. There's like a glass wall with the brew house.
I went straight back to the beer garden. It's the only place there was room. You guys were packed, so good for you.
Oh, thanks.
But I went straight back there. Okay, so you start brewing on that, and then how long till you open up production?
It's about 2.5 years, I want to say. We basically opened the production facility just so we could have more beer on tap, because I had four fermenters at our brew pub. And we just wanted to have more options for people that was, you know, our beer.
Hmm. Were you having to carry guest taps just to keep up?
We were, and that was a great thing, and I really enjoyed that. But it came down to the point where we had, like, one beer, and we were basically riffing, like, three different, you know, styles off one beer.
We had definitely at one point, like, a spicy version of an IPA, a nitro version of that same IPA.
I see. Right.
Chili peppers, nitro.
I'm kind of surprised to hear that because I went to your website and I went to your Our Beer page. Now, anybody listening right now, I want you to go to AlvaradoStreetBrewery.com. Well, it doesn't look like it, for one. There's good information. But what I want to point out is if you go to Our Beer, you click that tab. Then there are four different topics there. You can go to hoppy, you can go to malt-centric, you can go to light, and you can go to kettle sour. What I'm getting at is
really
the sheer amount of different beers you guys have brewed is absolutely ridiculous. I was thinking you're 10 years old with the amount of different beers you have. There's like, I'm going to just throw out 200-something styles of or different beers here that I was going down the list looking at.
I think I talked with our social media guy last week, and I think he said it was something like 400.
Okay.
But that's including a lot of the same beer.
I have
that's
no
like
idea.
Nitro or
you
know, different treatments, perhaps.
Okay, so you just done maybe different named. Because there's a lot. And I think it's cool, actually, that they're clearly archived here. Like, every beer you've ever made is probably on this website. I think that's good.
Hopefully. There might be a couple missing.
Brock's doing his job.
How dare you? Yeah, I mean, there's really just a ton of them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Can I ask you about this, though? Your beer names?
Yeah.
Which, you guys like puns, and you like pop culture puns.
Yeah, a lot of that, sure.
Which I like. Like Hazing Saddles, for example. Blazing Saddles is like my favorite all-time movie. Just putting that out there. Godfather, then Blazing Saddles.
How dare you?
Then... Do you guys get in trouble for this shit, though? Like,
Occasionally.
You do?
But not, like, trouble. People are pretty nice about it. The cease and desist we've gotten. We didn't, like, do it on purpose to get a cease and desist, although some people would like to probably say that's the case. But
they think you want, like, the free publicity.
No, they're cool. Like, even though, like, Anheuser-Busch, we did a beer with our friend Peter Hoey, who's the, you know, brewmaster owner at Urban Roots.
We were just talking about his beer.
Yeah, so it was Hoey Garden. And did that. It was clearly
it's
like
his name.
Joke.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah.
But Anheuser-Busch was like, oh, you know, we know that this is a collab with your friend Peter Hoey, like dropping names in the season.
Oh, okay,
okay. They're like, yeah, just, you know, give like 3 weeks to sell it and then just don't do it again.
Right, okay.
Like, sweet.
That's pretty nice of them, actually.
But it was a wit, so it took, you know, months to move. But
see, I've gotten people yell at me more than that. Like, people have used my logo, and I'll do the same thing. I'll be like, look, I'm not trying to cost you any money. Just, like, sell what you have. And they'll be dicks back to me. Like, fine, what, you're the only hop grenade? Yeah, actually, that's my fucking point. I'm the only hop grenade. Anyhow, you guys haven't gotten any serious, like...
Actually, we did get one, like, pretty harsh one with our buddies at Cellar Maker. We got...
okay.
It was brewed there.
That's funny. Brewery. Serious, but with your buddies.
Yeah, exactly. It was Big Lots, and it was basically a pun on
But that's like a direct
hops.
Yeah.
And they were pissed, and
really?
that one actually got like a little crazy, but we got through it.
And they just get usually what happens is a cease and desist is just if you're going to stop, it's over, right?
Yeah,
it's
it never like impacted our businesses or anything, but that one wasn't like a nice cease and desist.
Right.
If there is such a
if I'm Big Lots and a boutique high-end great brewery puts that brand on a beer, I'm like, I love you guys right now. Can we brew more so I sell it at Big Lots?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Kmart or Big Lots, like, your brand needs some help is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're like lifting them up.
Exactly. It's not the other way around.
I think the issue was that we were also selling branded toasters and beach blankets and...
Oh, yeah. We went for the whole useless item thing of Big Lots. The whole theme. It was great.
I see. Just really to run... You're not doing it to steal brand recognition. You're just doing it to be funny when these things come up.
I mean, it's more to just amuse ourselves, I think,
right,
at the end of the day.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, 100%.
But you're not afraid of, like, getting... I mean...
Nah.
It would seem like you get a cease and desist, and then you go, hey, maybe we should not... You know,
do the next one.
Like make the artwork so similar or whatever. But do you just not? Is it like a badge of honor to get
no,
do you think about them at all? I guess
I think we're just having fun with what we do, and if that happens, we got to deal with it. Then
mm-hmm. I mean, I think in general too, we've been trying to pull back from the pun game a little bit because
we were pretty heavy on the puns.
That's too bad. They're so funny. I like them. And to me, if it's a big enough brand in pop culture, that's what I seem to see you guys focusing on. If it's like a pop culture brand, I don't mind. I think it's funny. I don't mind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not like other than like taking some other some other small brewery who's like worked really hard for that brand and it's just their brand, and then it's nobody else even gets the joke. You just took their brand. That's fucking different. But who doesn't get the joke? Hazing Saddles. That's hilarious. That's pop culture.
And we made an entire production out of that beer with Dave.
You did?
Yeah. Central figure. There's a video.
Did you do screenings of Blazing Saddles at the brewery?
I was riding a horse on the beach.
Did you really?
Miniature horse.
First time on a horse.
Oh my god.
We made him drink a lot that day too.
And
he rode a Blazing Saddle.
I was pretty drunk too on the horse.
On the horse,
yeah.
I think that's allowed on a beach.
A bunch of scenes that we never even put into the movie.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, you got to walk into that bar again.
Cabernet. Drinking.
Did you ride the horse into a bar?
No, I rode it just down the beach near.
It's down in
near Marina.
I need to see this video. You guys have to send me a link to this video.
Absolutely.
Is it on your social media or something? Everyone can see it?
We do some silly stuff.
We have a special horse in there as well. One of our brewers owns a mini horse. Right?
Miniature pony.
Nice. Named Piccolo. That is a legend. And,
a mini horse.
It's like walking a dog. It's pretty cool, actually.
That is cool. I was reading recently about... service animals.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is going to sound random, but under service animals, I think there's two different kinds. There's service animals and there's emotional support animals. Not all animals can be emotional support animals and be allowed into a bar. But so dogs, this is California state law, by the way. Dogs have to be allowed. And miniature horses have to be allowed.
That's awesome.
I believe it.
For emotional support animals. Now, service animals, that's a whole different thing. But the emotional support ones, you don't have to let in like somebody's pet ferret or fucking koala or whatever else. But you do have to let them in with their miniature horse. And you have to let them in with their dog. And I thought that was just kind of random
fantastic.
With the horse. Yeah.
It's a follow-up video.
And now I've just been waiting for someone to come in with a horse.
So, listeners out there, if
I'm
you
into
have
it.
A miniature support
I can't stop you.
Support animal, please
bring it.
So Piccolo is loud
night.
At the Hop Grenade.
I feel like Hop Grenade needs a Piccolo visit. My staff hates me right now, but I feel like, we need a Piccolo visit.
Oh, that would be awesome. Amazing.
Piccolo's pretty special.
Just be aware at your own places, too. If you own a bar in California, a public place, you got to let the miniature horse in.
I could only hope that someone would come.
Yeah, right.
We used to have a guy that came with his cat. He had a support cat, and it would sit on the chair, and he would feed it little pieces of hot dog.
I hate
we,
that so much.
We have
that pisses me the fuck off
now,
so much.
Oh, God.
If it's a service animal again, which means it has, like, a specific skill, you'd have to let the cat in. But if someone came here and said, and I said, what is your cat? And they said it's an emotional support cat, I don't have to let the cat in.
Oh.
I probably would, though.
We have one customer, one of our regulars that goes to both Salinas and Monterey who has a...
Macaw.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his name is Tonto. He's like 26 years old. This guy rides Harley with a cage on the back, and this will bring the bird in, and the bird just Hops around, jumps on his shoulders.
I would literally get up and leave.
Any Saturday night, he's rocking it.
Get out
of
here with your scary. Get out. Yeah. Get out. I'm consuming food. Leave me alone.
Right. Yeah. Bird's probably cleaner than most of the humans around you, though. I'm thinking.
Yeah, but they're not like fluttering around in my beer. You know what I mean?
Usually.
Yeah. Pooping on the counter.
All right, tell me about the Pilsner in my glass, because I've been enjoying it since about 5 o'clock.
Which glass?
This is a Peninsula Pilsner. This is a German-style kind of hoppy Pilsner. We've been brewing it, since we opened in 2014. It's actually the hoppiest beer we make.
Is it really?
On the hot side, yeah.
Okay.
Hot side is...
Really?
Stuff this thing full of whole cone hops and a huge whirlpool, all like Noble-style hops.
Okay.
And we dry hop it a little bit, too.
Because I was saying, Teresa and I were, our palates were disagreeing on this, that my first sip of it, I was like, wow, that's really bitter. That's a firm bitterness Pilsner. Yeah. Couple sips in, then it's fine. Then I'm just tasting like nice, noble hops.
Yeah, it's kind of snappy. It doesn't really like linger.
The first taste, it really did. But Teresa felt different. She thought it was a little low on the bitter side.
Yeah, I'm... Lower, one of those people anyway. I can drink the bitterest beer in the world.
Nice. Got it.
No problem. But,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's wonderful. The hop, the nose and flavor, so floral and pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I love this
Thank
beer.
You. Appreciate it. Yeah, we love this beer too. And we, I probably put more brain power into this beer than.
What's it called?
A lot of other ones. We've changed it so many times, but I'm pretty happy with where it's at right now.
Peninsula Pilsner, that's what it's called.
Honestly, I think that's, I mean, you guys have made a lot of different beers, but it's so cool to have made this beer and just push it forward and just tweak it and tweak it and tweak it. Because sometimes I worry about breweries that never go back to the same thing. It's because how are you going to develop your, you know, develop that perfect Pilsner if you don't have a lot of time with it?
Yeah, I mean, Pilsner's just one of those styles where I think, you know, there's so much complexity going on, even though it's like a really simple, nuanced style. Mm-hmm. You can, especially with noble hops, I think need a little bit of love in the world. And I think this beer is a good showcase for that. Or I really like the noble hops that we have this year. And past years, I wasn't really totally psyched on the hops that we had. But this year, they're pretty nice. We got quite a bit of them, which is good.
What are they in it?
So it's Tettnang, German Tettnang. There's some Mittelfrü and then Czech Saws, maybe a little Saffir, too.
Hmm.
But Czech Saws on the dry hop. And then it's whole cone Tettnang flowers.
Wow.
We knock out onto those. And why it makes Biggie's Day really difficult. So sorry.
Right. Why whole cone? Was that just the better batch or what?
It was more like we have this hop back. We never use it.
So I see.
Let's stuff that thing
to
the
brim. Let's add a couple hours onto the end of my day.
Yeah. For years, it's funny. We've gone back and forth so many times. We used to dry hop it, and then we didn't dry hop it. Now we dry hop it again, but it's like a small amount. It's like maybe 3/4 of a pound per barrel. But I just think the whole cone flowers add a lot of oil, and they give you that bitterness too.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just something fun to do with whole cone flowers. We don't use whole cone in really any other beers, so it's kind of fun to.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more traditional.
Okay. I wouldn't. You know, it's I want to call it a Bohemian Pils. I guess if I had to really describe it to somebody, I'd say like Bo Pils. But I think it has a clear like American craft take on it.
Yeah, it's too hoppy for like a traditional German Pils.
Yeah.
Maybe the bitterness, but the aroma is more American style, I guess.
Yeah, the aroma gets a little like a little sweeter, perfumey, or something like that. I mean, it's still close to a. You could probably even enter it as a Bo Pils and maybe do well. But I would go. It's like a American craft version of that.
I mean, STS and Pivo are definite, you know, influences on this beer.
Sure.
All day.
Yeah.
So we love and worship those beers.
I think yours is a little... See, now I'm going to end up agreeing with you, Pasuti. Yours is a little softer than both of those. Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's not so dry. It's like the balance comes through and it kind of goes over your palate and doesn't like crash and burn and dryness, you know, like some Pilsners do.
Yeah.
It's an awesome beer, though. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Drinkable.
This is in cans also?
Yep.
Yeah. So you brew this at the big brewery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd say probably leading to that bitterness, or I'd say the water profile makes a huge difference. We've got an RO system installed maybe, what, 2 years, a year and a half ago?
A year and a half ago, yeah.
Yeah, so that allows us to play around with that Pilsner recipe a lot more than we had before.
It's definitely like a softer profile than it was.
We're using more of a Czech water profile, but Yeah.
Definitely.
But now
definitely.
Adjusted quite a bit.
Did you think that you guys didn't have the best brewing water out there in Salinas, or you just wanted to be able to build it exactly what you want?
It was more just being, you know, crazy about, you know, just basically looking at our water profile and being able to do anything we want and being flexible. Mm. So, it was definitely came down to, like, recipe and just flexibility with water.
Okay.
The brewing water wasn't great. It's not horrendous. It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
It works well with West Coast IPA just on its own, but we still treat the West Coast IPA water profile.
Okay.
But our water profile that we brew with our pub, we don't treat the water at our pub, and I think it makes fantastic West Coast beer.
And it's different than what you get in Salinas, huh?
We actually model the one in Salinas pretty close to the one at the pub in terms of the West Coast water profile.
Okay.
Maybe the calcium might not be as high, but it's pretty close.
I would have thought it's the same source. It's not all that far, Salinas.
It is the same source, but Salinas, it's basically we're using mostly RO.
Okay.
We just build it back.
Oh, now I see. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, and then I just took you also brought us a pale ale.
Yeah.
A clear pale ale.
Yeah, we make plenty of clear beer. Or try to. It's not that clear. It's a little bit of hop hit. Oh, it looks pretty clear.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's clear beer.
It's a light straw color. Like, you guys even thought that maybe my Pilsner was the pale ale, because kind of almost the same SRM. You guys described this as it's Strata, West Coast pale ale. I love this pale ale. This is my jam. I'm glad I didn't go to the pale ale straight away. I never would have had the Pilsner. I would have just stuck with the pale ale. So
it's pretty intense.
This is a beer we're very hyped on, especially with our Strata selection we have. This is with our new 19 selection.
So like 2019 crop, you're saying?
Yeah.
It's a brand new Strata.
Brand spanking new Strata.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. We're pretty psyched on it.
Is this a new... Has Strata been around for a little bit, or is it like a new variety?
So I think it's the second year that it's being... It's sold as Strata. The year prior was like experimental.
It's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But even at the Sierra Nevada Fest, there were a lot of people on those panels
talking
about
it.
Strata like as one of their favorite or the ones they're using a lot. And so it's sort of
the new hype.
Yeah.
How would you describe the hop?
You know,
green, leafy, has oils in it.
And that kind.
Yeah. Got it. Green pine cone.
Yeah. Right.
Grows on a vine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually get a lot of similarity to some of the Southern Hemisphere hops from Strata. Like, mm-hmm. I get sort of like a diesel-y, passion fruit, tropical, thiol-y kind of character that's similar to like Nelson or Rowaka, some of the hops down there that are just so unique in terms of almost like Sauvignon Blanc white wine. I get a lot of that from this hop. It's almost like a American version of those hops to
it's
me.
Like, I get like a diesel cantaloupe. Almost like a underripe mango kind of thing, like all just in one, this weird,
super punchy. I absolutely love this hop. And
it's funny that diesel is like a good quality, but in this it is, because it's not overbearing.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I like it in this. I think a little diesel and fruit, like usually it's like, oh, okay, that one has too much kerosene.
You know what?
In fact, I didn't think diesel until you said it, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that is there.
I wonder if it is sort of becoming more prevalent in newer hops, because before, again, Sierra Nevada Fest, before one of the panels they were doing... a bunch of hop, rubbings and stuff, and they had a bunch of brewers come in to try to
pick a blend.
Pick a blend for the new ALS, like hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hops, I forget what it was called. I think I just had a number. I got a lot of diesel out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if, like, we're trying to pull these flavors out of these hops, and, like, in the hop talk, they were talking about really focusing on breeding for, strength and...
disease resistance.
Thank you very much. That's a better term. And I wonder with some of that comes some of that diesel, and so I wonder if that is going to be just a little more accepted.
Sure.
Because it used to be kind of like, oh, that's weird, but now we're like, oh, it's right there, and then here, but we have all this other stuff too.
It just used to be whenever I detected it was really strong too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is this 100% Strata in this beer?
Yeah. 100% Strata.
Wow.
So do you use it in different spots? Like, obviously, you're going to dry hop, but like, do you also do like a little bit of boil, a little bit of whirlpool? And
yeah, it's like whirlpool, definitely.
Yep.
I don't know if we bitter with it. We might bitter with like some, like, we bitter with a lot of usually Mosaic or Simcoe extract just to get like a baseline IBU established, usually like under 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we just kind of go big in the whirlpool.
Yeah, something like 1 to 1.5 pounds per barrel in the whirlpool per barrel.
So you do some boil additions?
We do put hops in the boil.
Normally,
like three.
Okay.
But like one pellet.
It's like nobody does that anymore. Yeah. You might as well brew a fucking amber ale next. You know, like nobody does that anymore. So I like that. And I think that there is something to that. I think all these late edition hops, you're missing a dimension.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think you can.
Especially for a beer like this.
You can benefit your beer a lot by adding hops earlier in the boil. I mean, I think with head retention, it definitely helps.
And, but for a pale ale, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're saying extract was your bittering addition, like hop extract?
Yeah, like CO2 hop extract.
Okay.
But that's for some beers. Some beers will do, like, we'll even rock the first wort addition from time to time.
Okay.
Damn,
just
bro.
For fun.
Hops everywhere.
That's old school shit.
Yeah. It's fun.
And this beer is not filtered? You guys don't do no fining, no filtering?
This has a little bit of biofine.
Okay. Do you filter other beers?
No, we don't filter any beer. Just a little bit of biofine and some of our West Coast styles.
Okay.
I would even call this a little, maybe... It's not too. You can't be too clear, I guess, with West Coast style. But I like a little bit of hop haze. I think in those beers is kind of from my point of view. I really like that.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
How many different styles do you have in production at one time? I mean, I know that'll change, but just like in general.
I mean, we shoot to generally come out with like with? We. What's a lot of IPA, obviously. A lot of hobby beer.
We're trying. I'm trying not to focus on that. So it's.
we'll generally have like an IPA, a Pilsner, a couple West Coast, like separate from the hazy side, something goofy.
Yeah,
and it's like a dark beer every once in a while. But we have, out in Salinas, we have 11 fermenters and two lager tanks, and then some other brights and stuff that we. So I think it's pretty varied.
And
we try and mix it up for sure, but it's generally like a lot of hoppy stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any like flagship beers that are always there? Like Monterey beer is always there, right?
Yeah. So the other flagship beer we have is called Mai Tai PA.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like a 100% Mosaic West Coast IPA.
Okay,
we've been rocking that one for a long time
with the first wort hop edition.
There's little 2 pounds.
There we go.
You. 2 pounds.
2 pounds.
Yeah.
What, you just didn't have anything to do with 2 pounds of
is it
hops?
2 pounds? 3 pounds? I don't know.
It's three now.
We
it's
needed rice holes.
Yeah, like what does the 2 pounds do? You guys are, now you're just like, well.
It's like five or six BUs or something like that.
Does it? Okay.
Justin, it sounds ridiculous, but it does a couple things. It helps it not to boil over.
Ah, okay.
And honestly, I really think like a little bit of first wort hop gives it some shelf stability.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
sort of preserve the quality.
It would be hard to pick out any contribution from kettle hops when you're just dry hopping at the High Hill and back. But
yeah, true. Yeah. And what's the batch size on this 3 pound?
20 barrel, 25, 26 barrels.
No, I don't know. I think you guys are getting a benefit out of this, whether or not like you believe me or not.
I think we'll always do it regardless, just because
it's like putting on your
lucky
socks.
It's the way we've always done it. Yeah, right.
It helps us all to respect you more. So
yeah.
If for no other reason.
Yeah.
Not me. I think you're wasting 3 pounds of hops.
Could be. Never know.
No, clearly it's working. You guys make good beer. So you just keep the two flagships, and then you guys, because we all just want the next new beer, you just make the next new beer all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we come back to a lot of beers. I mean, we'll definitely come back to a lot of, ones that we know people like, ones that we like to drink.
Do you ever consider like ditching lagers and just staying away from it and turning
those tanks?
No, if
anything, we want to do more lagers.
With like weird shit or goofy stuff. That's
we do so much goofy shit already. Yeah. We're kind of chilling off the goofy stuff.
Are you coming back?
But
like coming back to sort of more classic styles then? Because the reason I ask that is because at the fest, I don't know why I keep like drawing from that. Because
you haven't gotten out of the house in 8 months.
That's true.
Except to Disneyland.
At the best time of my life.
Right. We're going to hear about this for like the next 6 months.
we were talking, there's a lot of lagers. And I think last year, there was even less. 2 years ago, I don't think you can go to a hop harvest festival and see this many lagers.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like, with all the hazy IPA talk and all the, well, every brewery needs to make money bullshit, people are still brewing lagers.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's what we all kind of want to drink.
Something you can drink, yeah, exactly.
So are you guys seeing that too with sort of your production, your demand?
We've been doing lagers for a long time, but, I mean, in the summer, we're ripping through lager. Even right now, like Monterey beer flies.
I feel like we're definitely making more than, like at least double than we were 2 years ago maybe. As far
for
as
sure,
lagers.
For sure.
Wow.
Volume-wise.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, but we also just made like a banana daiquiri beer.
Yeah. Okay.
We keep it silly.
All righty then.
Do you?
You got to try it. It's kind of. It's pretty fun.
No, I don't think I want to.
Oh, you got to try
it. You're like, you're Mr.
Fun.
Tiki Bar.
Yeah,
yeah, just get out of the brewery and go to the tiki bar in your brain.
And order it there,
That'd be awesome.
Maybe.
Just change your environment
we'll
is
think
all.
About it. There's a lot, you know, it's not my environment.
Do you ferment your lagers cold?
Oh, yeah. 50, okay. 52.
You do.
52 to 55, kind of depends on...
You don't do like this three-day warm lager, bullshit lager thing?
No, I mean... Back in the day, I think we would maybe do like we would start it just to get the yeast kicked off. Maybe start it a little warm and then bring it down. But now we've been going cold for years.
Okay,
nice. Yeah,
no Kvike in there to make a pilsner.
No 100 degree pills. No. Yeah, okay. no estuary pills. Kind
of that's amazing. With opposite. All like with all the like the goofy stuff you guys are doing, you still have time to keep those in there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important to us, and you know we're in this because we like to. Drink beer, obviously, so we got to make stuff that we like to. I mean, we drink everything that we make, obviously. We're not going to make anything that's going to be off-putting to ourselves or something that we're not proud about. Like, even the banana daiquiri on paper, everyone's like, I don't know about that. That's pretty weird. But so, it came out, and we're all like, man, I had like two daiquiris last night.
What is in this beer that makes it a banana daiquiri beer?
There's just like thousands of pounds banana. Of daiquiri. Or daiquiri.
Of daiquiri, yeah.
Banana,
it's actually
banana just, puree.
It's a banana daiquiri. Yeah. Like it's literally in the name.
Well played. Yeah.
It tastes like a banana runt, if you ever had one of those.
Oh, yeah, I remember runts. Yeah.
Those were like the worst can. Those were like, if you give me a box of runts, the banana ones are the...
Oh, the bananas are my favorite.
Really? You're the banana guy?
I would save the bananas.
Like banana Laffy Taffy, you probably...
I just got whole pile of bananas left.
Here's a question.
That was me, for sure.
How about the coconut Jelly Bellies? Were you that guy, too?
No.
Okay. Good.
JB, don't be ridiculous.
All right. Sorry. Just making sure.
So a bunch of bananas are in the beer?
Yeah, shitload of lactose. Yeah. And a bunch of lime, too, to kind of counteract that lactose.
Okay.
It works. It's weird. You got to just try. Don't knock until you try it.
I'll try.
So it is on tap. It's on tap.
We have a can
not
of it, too.
Impossible. If
it's here?
It.
Fuck, I have to try it now because I said I'd try it.
It is here. You said you'd try it?
Yeah, I just did before I knew it was here.
Well,
I didn't think they were going to call me on it.
Well, we should try it together because I really 100%. Don't want to, but I will.
No, we should try it.
All right.
We should try it. No, we'll take a quick break, Beav. Beav's asking me if we want to do that. Why don't we do that? We'll take a quick break. We want to try some other beers, too, of course. And now we're roped into that, JP. I bet you're going to love it.
I
bet you're going to get a tattoo of it.
It will literally be my first lactose, goofy, trendy bullshit beer.
If you like 100%. It, you mean. Or
first time I've ever tried it.
Oh, you've never even.
Oh, I know.
See, this
that.
I have such a strong opinion without even trying.
I know that I don't like getting hit by a bus without having to get hit by a bus. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's not a great comparison. But
no, it's literally it's not.
Daiquiri bus coming at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Going with it.
We're gonna change the name to it right now too.
All right, let's try it.
Daiquiri
bus is actually a good name.
It's the session, and we'll be right back with Alvarado Street.
Hey, motherfuckers! This is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to the session on the fucking Bruin Network. Fuck you.
Are we allowed to cut?
All right. Welcome back to the session. Thank you, Dougie.
Dougie. My guy.
I know. He's our dude. He's great.
I love that guy.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are hanging out with the boys from Alvarado Street Brewery. They're in Salinas and Monterey, and they're making great beer. And JP and I promised to try
our stupid
banana daiquiri. What's it called? The beer actually called?
It's called Daiquiri Island.
Daiquiri Island.
Banana edition.
But okay, so it's a series.
Yeah. We're going to have more than one.
Start something special.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's also a new reality show, Daiquiri Island.
That actually relates to what we were just talking about on the way back into the studio.
Is that right?
It's like there's, you know, it's like the reality TV show of.
Oh, games, yeah, yeah.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Banana
Taco
version.
Bell of.
all right. So I could tell, you know, it's it looks like a cocktail. So I picked it out of the lineup.
I'm actually recording myself doing this because no one's going to believe
it. No one believe he did it. I mean, it smells like banana daiquiri. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I just can't stop smelling it.
Right? It smells great.
And it also smells like a banana runt.
Like a runt, yeah.
It's like 100%.
Yeah. Or banana chips or something. I see this.
Yeah.
Not paint chips, banana chips.
So what were the...
I don't know. With some of the beers you're making, I'd be willing to bet there's a paint chip in there.
All right, wow. As we taste, describe it a little more for me. Like, what was the format of the banana that went in? I mean, was it like a puree?
It was puree. Yeah. Yeah, it's puree. It's a pain in the ass to get it in. The boys weren't too
horrible
happy
yield.
About that. Yeah, horrible yield.
Where did it go?
How do you make bananas into puree?
I don't know. We just got it into our brewery and threw it in there.
Say
septic banana puree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it would be legit, but for to get the amount of banana character in this, it would have taken us months to process
I'm
that much banana.
Totally on board with that. I thought what you were saying was you guys took bananas and made, and I was like, whoa, that's legit.
That would be cool. But
banana puree into the fermenter, also. Into the boil.
Yeah, into the fermenter. So we have like a, so for all our fruited kettle sours, we have this tank that we just dump drums of fruit into, and then we purge it, and then we recirculate it into the tank.
Okay.
Usually during towards the end of fermentation, we want there to be some fermentation left because it actually really helps with color stability and I don't know. You just get a better symphony of flavor rather than just adding it at the very end and it just kind of sits in the cone.
So this is kettle soured also.
It is.
Lactose
added. There's what lime as well.
Okay.
We actually use lime crystals in this one. Which is pretty interesting.
And what yeast? What's your base yeast?
So in our kettle sour beers,
it's a combination of four different yeasts, technically.
Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of like whatever we have on hand.
Well, we normally do half kind of a neutral yeast and then half more of an expressive yeast that will ferment a little bit hotter.
We usually have both those lying around the brewery. So.
What's that? Yeah. I'd say at any given time, you have four yeasts rolling at the brewery.
Yeah, if you include lager. Couple expressive yeast, and then Cal Ale is always rocking around.
But I don't think this is brewed intentionally to have any like yeast expressive yeast character.
Okay,
really,
we're just going for like lactic acid, like clean ferment, relatively clean fermentation in terms of like low ester, and then fruit and alcohol.
It's simple. It's a fruit delivery device, really.
Exactly.
But it has tartness to it.
Yeah.
And I think the lime was a good call. It might be a little too benign without lime. Like a little acidity from that, right?
Uh-huh.
I think it's fucking good. I hate it. And I'm like on the mid. I don't hate it. I shouldn't say I hate that. I'm being overly dramatic when I say that. I just generally don't order them. But usually if I try, you know, I like to sip on them. But if I saw it on the menu, I'm always going to be like, oh, pale ale, cool. Or brown ale, awesome. Take that. Like, that's what I'll do. So I shouldn't say I hate them because I don't. But this is great. I would totally drink a pint of this.
Oh, it's awesome. Amazing.
I mean, it's really good.
It's like a cocktail.
It doesn't taste anything like beer.
Right.
We weren't necessarily going for that.
That's kind of the point.
I think it doesn't taste like beer, but I also think it doesn't taste like a cocktail. I'm not a big cocktail drinker, actually. Those are too sweet for me, and this does not have that. This is a nice middle ground between a beer and a cocktail for me. If this were just a daiquiri, I would not like it. It'd be way too sweet for me. Yeah. But the tartness that's there and, you know, a little dryness, like, I like that middle ground. I think you did okay. I hate to admit it, but I think you did okay. I would totally order this.
Yeah.
And now I want to taste the rest of their goddamn series.
Oh, no.
As they come out. What do you think, JP?
I think you're right. Teresa's right. It doesn't taste like a beer, but I understand that's what the guys aren't going for. But I wouldn't order it because that's what I want. I want to drink a beer.
Yeah.
I don't want to not drink a beer. And I think that's part of my problem with these sort of beers.
Is you're looking for a beer.
I'm looking for a beer.
Sure.
And this is not a beer, and so therefore I don't want it. If I want a cocktail, I'm going to like get a Mai Tai or some shit. I'm not going to get a banana daiquiri. But if the goal was to make a beer that tastes like bananas with sour and fruit and to be drinkable, this
nailed
achieved,
it.
Yeah, this achieved that. It's not disgusting. I thought it was going to be fucking disgusting.
It's not.
Every time I see these beers on Instagram, I'm not kidding, my stomach turned. It just goes like a blurp. And
even though you've never tried one.
Even though I never
Until
tried
now.
One. And smelling
Your mental image of it was so horrible.
And smelling it, it made my stomach go kablurp.
You didn't like the aroma even.
I didn't... It's a mind over matter thing.
Okay.
Like I knew what I was smelling. The aroma's great. It smells great. But I knew what it was. I knew what I was about to do, and my stomach felt ashamed.
It's so good.
The flavors are great. Everything's handled very, very well. It's just like Dave said, it needs rum.
or even bourbon.
I drink it with rum.
Or you actually, you actually blend it? Yeah.
No, I actually do ice. Put like a 2 ounces of rum and then I just top it.
And then this is like your mixer for that.
So it's an extra alcoholic mixture.
Right.
There's two things that need to happen with this.
That's why he's Party Wave Dave, by the way.
Right.
Rum. Oh, sorry.
Warren and I have talked about this rum before. Rum Fire. Have you ever had Rum Fire?
Mm-mm.
Anybody know about Rum Fire?
Mm-mm.
It's a light, it's not even an aged spirit. It's a clear spirit. It's rum, but it has these like fermented banana peel, funky aromas and flavors to it. It's fucking great. It's such a good rum. That would be rad in here, and a tequila would be good in here too. I basically would need a hard liquor in this for me to be. It's done really, really well, guys.
But you're saying there's a chance.
So I want this to go in a slushing machine.
So
you guys have a slushing
machine. Come down to Monterey. We'll make that happen.
I want this over ice cream.
Ew. No.
Don't you judge me.
There's plenty of lactose in it.
Vanilla.
It would compliment it.
Yeah. Vanilla doesn't go with banana, does it?
It could be like
bananas Foster.
Yeah,
this beer could absolutely take over two positions in my beer repertoire. One of them is the obvious one, like sitting on a warm beach instead of a daiquiri. I would rather drink this because I did everything else too. So tropical island beer and breakfast beer. Forget all this coffee stout shit that's been like the breakfast beer for a long time. That's yesterday's news. This is like a easy drinking smoothie for breakfast. I drink a lot of smoothies for breakfast.
It's almost like a mimosa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could easily take over my breakfast beer slot, for sure. So, in cans?
Yes.
Yep. All right, I'm going to buy some.
All right.
Stock my fridge.
They're for sale in your tap room.
Are they really? I never look, but that's good. Reason being, because I shouldn't be having beers for breakfast. But now that I know it's there, it's probably going to happen.
We had one for breakfast yesterday.
That's true. Yeah.
Nice.
That was distant. We were done working yesterday.
That's true.
So it was Sunday. Sunday morning breakfast beer. Easily take the place.
Easy choice.
And better than mimosas, too. I would drink that over a mimosa for a morning beer. I think you did well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you're probably selling a shit ton of this.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I think it's gone.
People are liking it. Part.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's next in the series?
Yeah, good question.
It's unfortunate because I'm drinking a ton of this.
Yeah.
But strawberries in the tank right now. So we went with banana out the gate, now more traditional.
Right.
I guess.
Also,
it's a frozen daiquiri inspired, just to be clear.
Sure.
Like a traditional, it's like a
classic,
garbage daiquiri.
Classic daiquiri is very different.
Yeah, very different. We should probably speak to that. Yeah.
I drink a lot of those when I was a kid, but they were virgin. So virgin
I was going to say, yeah, well played, parents.
That's pampered upbringing. Yeah.
And look how I turned out.
Yeah. That's why he's Party Wave Dave. He's been riding the Party Wave
for a long time.
Drinking
mocktails for a long time.
Longer, yeah. Oh, I know how this is. Just, next one will be Shirley Temple's.
But. Don't tempt them, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. okay, what's next here? I think we had the West Coast IPA with New Zealand hops is the next one we wanted to try. You guys have been using New Zealand hops for a couple years or what?
Yeah, so we just linked up with the guys at Freestyle Farms in New Zealand pretty recently. We were lucky enough to go out to New Zealand and select hops last spring, which was an incredible experience. And you and I talked about it.
I'm going to go. Our new friends, in fact, we're going to talk to them later on today's show if you want to stick around. But Hop Revolution is a new farm out there. And I'm going to go to my first hop harvest out there, which I'm really excited about.
It's a trip, man. You're gonna love it. You're going to love it.
I'm going to go hang out in New Zealand for as long as I possibly can.
Great.
But so what variety of hops are in this then? Because I thought that New Zealand was really like restricted to a couple varieties.
They actually have like quite a few.
Okay.
But so Freestyle Farms, they have these experimental hops that they, you know, recently we were able to acquire some in a small quantity. This is a really small batch. This is like a little 5-barrel tank that was just an experiment.
Okay.
And basically, they blend these and package them in such a way that it kind of maximizes the thiols of the hops. Basically, exploring that component, which you know a lot of thiols can be give you that passion fruit, tropical diesel, like we were talking about earlier. A lot of that's people think it's thiol based.
Okay,
this particular one just has a number, and we threw it in a tank, and we're like, "Holy crap, this smells crazy!"
Yeah,
like a really yeah, it's like super mango heavy candied melon. It's like
it almost smells
like diesel again, though. Too.
But it's diesel. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It almost smells like another cocktail beer.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, it's
yeah, it's pretty over the top in terms of it's. I mean, we dry hopped it about a little over 4 pounds per barrel, just to really get an idea of what it can bring to the table.
And, that'll do it.
Oh my god! Like if they had this commercially available, I would stock up on this.
Go right for it. It's a little heavier on the diesel, I think.
Definitely, it's a little more dank, a little more pungent.
I don't get that on the pale ale. I got the pale ale. I got it. Get more of it. This I don't get it at all.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. The other one was like, subtle. I'll take that. This one's a little stronger.
Yeah, but definitely a lot of lime, like lime juice in the aroma. I haven't even tasted it yet, but it smells a lot like a Mai Tai, like a Trader Vic's Mai Tai.
Okay,
like a I don't know. It's
I could definitely.
See. And this is single hop all the way through too.
No.
Yeah, it's actually our base West Coast IPA.
Biggie's like no.
It's Mosaic. It's a hot side. Yeah.
Okay. So, but that's just for some alpha, right? Like, meaning like 60-minute hot side or Whirlpool hot side?
60-minute.
Okay. So that's just a little
Whirlpool
alpha.
Whirlpool, too, actually. This is basically, it's basically Mai Tai beer, which is, we make a beer called Mai Tai. It's a West Coast IPA. It's a beer, it's like a staple beer of ours for a long time. And then we took undry hopped Mai Tai beer and then dry hopped it with these hops.
It's a really clean base.
Mm. It's like super neutral fermentation. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a good way for us to kind of bounce some of these new experimental hops off of each other.
Well, and you guys know that beer so well, you can like subtract the flavor and aroma of that beer out in your mind.
For sure.
So you can understand what this hop is.
Yeah, and that beer, like undry hopped, like is pretty bland anyway. So
okay.
Take the dry hop out. It's not really. It's like a blonde. It's like a high alcohol blonde kind
of. So if you go out when you go out for harvest, this is what you're going to be grabbing, like some of this stuff too, or other.
No, I don't think they'll
not ready yet.
I mean, it's grown in such small quantity and they process so little of it. I don't think this will be commercially available for a long time.
But okay.
we're definitely like working with them, and you know, just as a soundboard for what this hop could do, and hopefully they'll invest more of this hop. There's two others that we're working with as well.
Yeah, this is a great beer too.
Thank you.
How did you get connected with these guys?
I just sent one of the owners an email like once a week for like 3 years. And
so it was easy.
Oh, okay.
But what did you, I mean, you heard about them from somebody, or did you like Google New Zealand Hop Farm? Like what, how did that?
I had heard of them and you know, a couple friends in the industry put a word in for us and that was really cool. And we were able to get in with them. And I think, they're expanding their operation too. And I think, you're going to be seeing more and more of their stuff on the market. But, I mean, they really pay attention to all the details and the science behind it, almost to a level that's – there's almost, like, less bureaucracy than you would get even in the Pacific Northwest, like YCH or something. Not to say that that's – I mean, they're unbelievable advancements up there as well.
Right.
It's like a small farm in New Zealand versus, a big, like, kind of American, hop broker, one of the biggest hop brokers in the world. But.
Sure. Yeah, that's how the hop revolution people seem to be, too. There's, like, they have control over everything, and nobody's fighting over trademark yet. Like, it's not like stuff, they're just, let's just make great hops. Let's make great New Zealand hops and see if we can get them to brewers. So.
Exactly.
I like this beer. I think it's good. Nice. I hope they come out with more of that, too.
Thank you.
All right, and then Hazy Double IPA. I don't have a name in front of me. You guys just sent the description, Hazy Double IPA. Is that what it is?
Yeah, three words that I love.
Right, yeah. Pool.
Yep.
Which is a collaboration.
All right.
It's not a collaboration with the band Tool, is it?
No, it's Tool.
Tool, the brewery.
Yeah, exactly.
In Denmark?
Denmark, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Tool. Got it.
So this is a fun beer we did with them, and we just put a lot of sexy hops in here. There's Nelson and Mosaic and Strata, and it's just super oily profile. And the yeast we fermented this with is pretty neutral, so it's not really estery. You don't get that really overwhelming kind of pineapple fruit kind of thing. It's more of just like big hop.
Right. So is my palate beat up now late in the show?
Probably.
Or... To me, the Pilsner that I first had a sip of before the show had a firmer bitterness than this double IPA does.
Yeah, this is like a hazy IPA, so the bitterness is definitely a little more soft.
Okay.
Than what you would get. I think on paper, the Pilsner's like probably close to 40 IBU, and I think on paper this one's about half that. But
low. Okay.
It's pretty low bitterness on paper, but I mean the dry hop in this is pretty hefty, and we usually pick up quite a bit of perceived bitterness from dry hop.
How many pounds per barrel of dry hop in a double IPA for you?
You know, it really ranges. I mean, over the years, that answer has changed considerably.
What but, about this one, though?
This one's like close to
8. Yeah.
8 pounds per barrel. God, no wonder.
Maybe seven.
I think you can round up.
Yeah.
Well, hop growers love you guys. They're like, they're like, oh, Alvarado, we love them.
Yeah. So how much does that take out of your, I mean, like yield? What percent yield are you getting on a 8 pound per barrel beer?
Horrible yield on this beer.
Yeah. To be fair, I was out of the country when this one was brewed, so I can take no blame for that yield. But we usually got a hop cannon that's been helping us, and I think I feel like we get better...
Extraction,
yeah, I'd say.
Really, from the hop cannon?
From the hop cannon, yeah. And I think we're lower DO pickup is what we've been seeing as well.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I think it's just the violence that it got in the tank.
Projectile, yeah. It's going in at like 65 PSI, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's new. We've only started playing with that for the last couple of weeks, and we're still trying to figure it out, but... Yes, we seem to get more extraction in a shorter amount of time, which is kind of cool. Because I feel like if you leave the hops on the beer for too long, you can kind of over extract and get that kind of green or like that hop burn. We actually had like a pretty serious issue with hop burn.
What's hop burn?
It's like if you drink hazy IPA and you kind of taste it in the back of your throat, it's kind of that like aspirin-y sort of like kind of burn in the back of your throat.
It starts to itch, kind of burn. Like
we were kind of trying to wrap our heads around why some of our beers were having that. This was like late last year, early in the new year. We kind of tied it to contact time on hops. And so we kind of played around with different ways to...
You shortened contact time to...
Yeah, we shortened contact time. But, you know, you still need to have it on the hops long enough to get all the stuff that you're paying for, all the
So
oil.
Where are you at contact time now? Like,
you know, it kind of depends based on the style.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone as short as... couple days or you know a week, but I mean before we were hop creep is a real issue we were kind of dealing with, and
you've gotten around that.
We've kind of figured that out a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you figure that out? Because nobody else had. Well, yeah. I shouldn't say nobody, but it's a problem for everybody.
It is a problem. Yeah, it's something we like dealt with for a long time, and I think contact time has definitely something to do with it.
Okay.
Kind of preventing things from starting.
You know, so are you saying to me, I'm just trying to read between the lines here a little bit, if you were to keep it on for, you know, a full 2 weeks or something, like maybe that's what everybody was doing, that's too long.
Crazy chlorophyll in your beer. Not literally, but it would be super green and vegetal. Yeah, it'd be...
Just because of the sheer amount.
I only know that because we had to dump beer that was on hops for like a long time that just we couldn't get the green matter to come out. It was undrinkable.
It's interesting to me that you couldn't do, and I'm sure you guys, this is exactly what you're messing with, but like instead of 8 pounds per barrel at 4 or 5 days, why couldn't you save a little money and do 4 pounds per barrel for 7 or 10 days? Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
But it sounds like as you're experimenting, the quantity matters and not just like the time.
Yeah, I think it matters, but we also run all these beers through sensory, and you know, some beers that are dry hopped at a much lower rate than that still do really well in sensory. And
okay.
So it's I don't think the law of diminishing returns is as apparent as it's made out to be in the industry with like more, you're not getting anything at that point. I do think you get a lot out of a bigger dry hop for sure, but you know, once you're up above like 5-6 pounds per barrel, it's. I mean, we haven't done this long enough to really.
I
think it might be varietal dependent as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about this with YCH on our hop show, and I'm just the dummy in the room, like asking all these questions, and everybody's just trying to figure it out. And obviously, you know, hop suppliers are like, no, 8 pounds is great. 8 pounds per barrel is great. But you know, everyone's going to figure out this middle ground. And what's strange about beer is that it seems like such a simple thing, such a simple product, such a simple scientific reaction, but it's really not. And ultimately, you guys are going to find out as the years go by that it is variety dependent. You're going to find out exactly why 8 pounds does one thing, because there's just this amount of thing that comes out of it that's not, but we just don't It's not documented yet, right? Like, nobody's experimenting.
There's not a research yet, yeah.
Exactly. So y'all are going to figure it out over the next several years, and then you'll be able to, brewers will, very soon, we'll be doing shows about that, where it'll be like, you know, it used to be we sort of guessed and put 6 or 8 pounds in, and now we know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to quantify it.
Yeah.
At some point. It's mostly anecdotal in this industry.
Yeah. So. Like, yeah. Drift from what, you know, like maybe El Dorado is today compared to what it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hops change over time, too. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, but, yeah.
And places like YCH, you know, the bigger places are trying to map all of these compounds as best they can, and that technology is getting better and better, too.
Absolutely. Every year we go up there and select, and I'm just so blown away by the research and the thought and all the resources that they put into figuring these questions out.
Yeah.
And now, like, the big topic in the industry is thiols, and those are measured in parts per trillion.
Right.
Where the threshold is so incredibly low, there's one lab in the world that can measure oil on that level.
Right.
But it has such a big impact. And I think with some of these New Zealand hops and, like, hops like Strata, Mosaic is a hop that's huge in thiols, it makes sense. But, you know, I think a lot of the focus is on, like, total oil, where the majority of the measurement of that total oil is getting, you know, blown off, or it's mercy and it's not even, like, relevant to the final
right
beer. So we don't know shit.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's all these tiny things that end up saying we don't know shit. That's exactly
that's
what I'm getting
so
at.
That's what's so fun about the industry. It's like we literally don't
well,
know what the
and,
fuck
and,
we're doing.
And just figuring out, like, okay, so you want the thiols. So how do you get more of these thiols in your beer, out of the hops and in the beer? Because my understanding is they're not that soluble, so it's that challenging.
Well, yeah, you have some that are, like, free, like, thiols in the hops, and you have, like, ones that are bound that there's through biotransformation. Maybe you
But then, like, what if there's an enzyme that can, like, bring these things in and make them more soluble?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Use the thiol.
I mean, just think of the beer we're going to make in 10 years.
Yeah.
Thiol master.
Yeah, you thiol master with, you know.
Like, will there be a, yeah.
That's a good beer name.
Susan secondary fermentation.
I think we need to do that.
Like, will there, will we,
of all,
will we look back and be like, you know, I remember when you could just, like, go from being a home brewer to a pro brewer, and now they're all PhDs. Like, every brewer will be a PhD in 30 years' time or something, because you have to understand all of these things. You don't think so?
PhDs, honestly, I've met some really dumb PhDs. We're all PhDs, okay?
And the B stands for
Yeah. Well, I'll be dead then anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I'll give you a PhD right now, dude.
Do it.
If you know what I mean.
This beer, to me, by the way, is also like the epitome of like a New England style IPA, like a hazy IPA. It has all of, like, the smooth roundness that you're looking for. It's not a milkshake one, which I like that. It's not, you know, quite that thick. Yeah, it has all the qualities people are looking for. I know why your cans fly off the shelf, you know.
Earthquakes.
Yeah, one more. You want to try it?
Yeah, we got time for another beer. What do we have here?
Spooky Juice, releasing it on Wednesday.
Spooky Juice. Is this label, by the way,
joke.
Almost like, is this the play on Nirvana?
It is the Nevermind, yeah, absolutely.
Because why isn't one of you in it with, like, your wiener out? Is that, I feel like, if
well,
you really wanted
nipple.
To...
There's Cosimo's nipples
there,
in it.
You're right, there's one nipple.
He's a buddy of mine that we go way back from the San Diego days, and...
I would have liked the a wiener out.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So I'm
the TTB
sure,
maybe not so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to pour in a glass already.
I'm sure Justin's going to do this later, but I just want to say congratulations.
Oh, thank you guys.
Won 2 medals at JBF, 1 gold, right?
We got a gold in Imperial IPA
for amazing.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
Blown away by that. That was really
gold
cool.
Medal Imperial IPA, which is double IPA.
Double
was
IPA.
It wasn't this though? It was
no, and it was
a different
West Coast style IPA.
Oh, okay. Clear West Coast double IPA.
Yeah.
How many beers were in that category, do you remember?
There's 170.
Nice.
Maybe.
Very nice.
We were really stoked.
That's a proud moment.
Huge, yeah.
Alpha
absolutely.
King. Alpha King as well.
The same beer.
Oh,
one,
the
same
Alpha
beer
King
one.
Challenge.
Seriously.
Oh, wow.
That happened.
Two different batches. We were kind of
That's
like,
pretty tight, dude.
Because Alpha King due date was, I don't know, a couple weeks later. And
describe to our listeners what the Alpha King challenge is.
So Alpha King's basically it's just like a double IPA competition. It's kind of like a side competition of GABF.
Okay.
And it takes place the Friday before. And, yeah, it's just a bunch of really hopped up beers.
Is it People's Choice to Alpha King, or is it judged?
No,
like you have? It is
judged.
Okay. Yeah,
it's judged.
Got it. So wait, so same beer but two different batches. One
same beer,
got
two
gold
batches.
At JVF. One got the Alpha King.
Yeah,
nice.
It's a beer we've been doing a long time too. We're really, really proud of that.
Wow.
So, wow, talk about a validation. Cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we got a lager in there too. That was awesome. It actually used to be a Mexican style lager.
And then
we kind of rebranded it as like a West Coast lager. It's dry hopped with Citra, so it's called Citra Vesa.
Nice.
And we got a bronze in that at GABF, which is cool.
That's
and then our sister brewery, our mixed fermentation brewery, Yeast of Eden, got a bronze in the
Belgian style lambic.
Belgian style Saison or lambic category, yeah.
Nice.
That was cool.
That's you guys cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
The Mexican style lager category is growing fast too.
It was actually in contemporary American Pilsner.
Oh category. God.
Whoa.
What is that?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. It was a new category this year.
Okay.
Like,
weird. Yeah.
Seems like we get
next year
there.
Be pseudo contemporary.
Did you enter it into, because Mexican lager, does that have its own category, or is that like international lager or something? Or?
I think it's like international style lager.
Yeah, okay. Because I was talking to Sully from the 2NA about this. You know, he's got El Sully, which I really, really like. He was talking about how, that category is kind of growing, people making more Mexican lagers, which I think is a good style.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Ours wasn't really a Mexican lager, though, because it was really hoppy, and it was, laced with Citra, so it wasn't really
What sounds like
it was
a contemporary.
More like an IPL under 5%, basically.
I see.
Very contemporary.
Were you guys there? Did you go and get on stage and fist pump Charlie and everything?
We sure did. My wife was with us, and I actually brewed. Citra Vesa was a homebrew recipe of mine back in the day. I brewed it for our wedding.
Nice.
Kind of cool. So it was kind of cool. It was her first time checking it out.
Oh, that's cool.
So cool.
That's a lot of fun.
Gotta throw her a shout out. She's listening. So
I like watching brewers win medals on that stage. It's a lot of fun. It's like, it's your stage.
I love hearing the reaction. People are just flipping out. It's great.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Are people just like beating down the door to get these beers too? Did you like brew them as quickly as a kid?
I don't know. Not necessarily.
Because I think there was a time when the metal meant, we're going to sell this.
I think it depends where you are and like how you incorporate it.
Biggest one, even though Mai Tai we've won most medals with, is probably contains no juice.
Because
it was like one
that was a good one. Last
yeah, year, just sure. even just because it was like the first time
we won out of the international style pale ale.
Yeah. And then it was one of our first like hazy double IPAs, and
yeah.
Well, that beer is straight up famous for sure.
Yeah.
Like we know all about it in SAC. So.
It probably depends on which category you win in, right? Like. It's going to be some publicity. If you win in like strong Scotch ale, then like only we care because we're beer nerds, right? Like you're going to care because you're like, sweet, I love that one. Yeah,
for example,
public isn't going to be running out for your strong fucking Doppelbock, right?
Yeah.
We did get a gold at WBC for a double red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then nobody cared about you guys.
Yeah, we made it, and no one cared.
You could probably hang medals all around the sign in the brewery, and still everyone's like, I can't see. You covered hazy with medals. I can't. Yeah.
Just rename it. This one gold.
Yeah.
Did I say blueberry?
Now you guys had talked about Matt Brindelson and his bowl of medals. So
yes.
I started my own bowl.
You did?
I'm trying to fill up that bowl.
How big is the bowl right now, would you say?
Well, it's
did you start with a large bowl or like a cereal bowl?
My bowl's like about this.
Okay, like a large cereal bowl.
I put all my El Dorado County Fair medals in there. It's full now, but it's not very illustrious.
That's okay.
It's hardware, whatever.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Medals are medals.
I definitely wanted to mention... Because I am super proud of you guys, and I'm sure you're proud of yourselves, too.
Well, honestly, there's, ridiculously good beers that just don't make it out of the first round, because it's like, you got to pick. So, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved.
Absolutely.
I mean, to win a medal, it's got to be a great beer, obviously, but there's so many great beers that don't.
Yeah.
Don't get recognized, and so I think people should know that.
But Alpha King and GABF, I mean, there's a couple
good.
Of data points.
That was cool.
That was pretty good. Did you get drunk that night?
No, I did. I had to go home to my three kids. The next day.
Party wave Dave did.
Yeah,
Dave
is still
we had
drunk.
Sushi and
had a nice dinner.
JC chilled.
Yeah, I went out.
I did chill.
Did your dad was your dad there to experience the victory as well?
I think he tuned in on your
checked it
podcast,
on the feed. Okay,
nice.
So he knew you won, but he wasn't there to celebrate yet.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't dragged him out to GABF yet, but
All right.
He's more psyched about the local accolades, like sure. in our newspaper in town.
The Carmel Pine Cone.
The Golden Pine Cone Award.
I love it.
He's more psyched on that.
All right, we got time to go through this one last beer that we just put in our glass. We didn't talk about that yet, but the Spooky Juice. Want to describe it?
Yeah, it's just a silly name. We thought we had to do that a couple years ago, and we don't really take ourselves too seriously. Kind of just
that's good.
The fun mantra. But yeah, it's just a hazy IPA. This is brewed with a more expressive yeast strain, so it's definitely a little more fruity. Definitely has like kind of like a pillowy sort of mouthfeel, and
yeah,
a little bit of biotransformation probably going on with this beer.
Explain that to me. What do you mean?
Basically, we will use an enzyme that assists with biotransformations when you add hops. I mean, again, it's like we're so new to
longer,
this.
Longer contact time probably than the beer that we had before.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you're talking, when you start to talk about biotransformation, we're talking about hopcrete like, too, right? Like that's part of it. So you're trying
inevitably, but. Okay. Yeah, the biotransformation is basically like certain oils and your hops are going to be converted to different types of oils, different types of esters, smells essentially.
And you're adding a separate enzyme to assist in that?
Yeah, we do. We've been playing around with this one enzyme. It's glycosidase. It helps break down glycosides, which is kind of like the scientific way to do it. That's about all I know.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But
it assists in this process so that it's what, more predictable rather than like, oh, I'll just let it go and see what happens.
Like it's more like so for example, like this yeast strain is really estery and has a really nice like fruity bouquet on its own, mm-hmm. but it doesn't biotransform that much on its own. So with an enzyme, that'll kind of help it sort of clip off different compounds to make more. We're just trying to boost aroma at the end of the day, and that's kind of how okay. we do it.
Well, that's a good summary, actually. Well done at the end there.
No, so I'm trying to wrap it up before I sound like an idiot.
I totally actually understood all the way through, only because of this Hop and Brew School podcast that we do, where I now understand that we're clipping off different enzymes and we're clipping off different chains so that different things can happen. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm following you.
Yeah,
I don't know how I can make every things. Yeah, but then, but I like the summary. I'm being honest when I say, yeah, but you're just looking for more aroma in the end.
Yeah,
how can we help
strains,
it do
like,
that?
Some yeast strains will biotransform on their own, like lager yeast, for example, like totally has the biotransformation
okay.
ability,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting. So we've dry hopped at different times with lagers, you know, over the course of a fermentation, even though we're not going for a crazy aroma in lager, but yeah. we do want, you know, some complexity. So
yeah, it's another good beer.
Thank you.
A little firmer bitterness than the pool. But still in that kind of New England IPA vein, right? It's not like harsh bitter at all. Just a little bit stronger than the last one. I like him. Thanks. All good beers, boys.
Thank you.
I'm going to finish my Pilsner and then go right back to the Pale Ale. The Strata. I haven't had it's so good. All of them were really delicious beers. You guys are doing a good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I can tell why they're flying off the shelf over here. Thank you for being in the studio. Everybody, you should go check out AlvaradoStreetBrewery.com and look at their amazingly long list of beers that they've brewed. But more important, you can check out their different locations and maybe even ask around where to find them. You can always find them, I'm pretty sure, almost always here at the Hop Grenade. Not always on draft, but a lot of times. And I think we take delivery of cans every single week. Our customers love them.
Appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you making sure we get some. Our customers do, too. So thanks for that. All right, boys. Thanks. We have
thanks
to have you back in the
us.
Studio
Thank
anytime.
You. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and you guys are welcome to hang out if you'd like to, or you can just go drink in the bar. It's up to you. But we're going to be talking to my friends from Hop Revolution, a hop company out in New Zealand, and we're going to be getting a little progress update. We learned about them, a little bit over a month ago now, and they're a brand new hop farm in New Zealand. They're going to end up being the largest hop farm there, but it's their first time doing it, and they were like, hey, man, we want to share all of our like triumphs and mistakes with you on the BN. And I was like, all right, if you'll be an open book,
right,
I'll talk about it. Let's
that's
do
right.
this.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no, that's what we want.
Yeah.
So we're going to check in with them when we come back and find out what's happening in New Zealand. Hang in there. It's the session and we'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake from Creature Comforts. You're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks to Alvarado Street Brewery for being on the show and bringing us all this great beer. Got their Strata Pale Ale back in my glass.
Nice.
Good. Good beer.
Super good.
Speaking of good beer, the 21st Amendment's newest seasonal release is Tasty IPA. Of course, that's near and dear to the BN Army's heart. It's a collaboration brew between everybody's favorite brewcaster, apparently. Which is Tasty.
Oh, I was going to say, I've never done a beer with them.
Yeah. Tasty brewed it with a 2NA. It's a 6.8% ABV and 58 IBU. It's got a nice light straw color. Tasty IPA drinks easily, but it's not necessarily easy drinking. The hop-forward creation, spawned originally from early test batches of Tasty's own homebrews, features Calypso, Simcoe, Azaka, Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe Lupulin Pellets, Centennial, Cascade, Equinox, Cascade Lupulin Powder, Mosaic, and Azaka again, apparently.
Wow, that's a lot.
Azaka twice, yeah. It's a bit of a hop salad. It was done as a one-time-only beer, but it's become so popular that it's now part of 2NA's 21st Amendment's main beer lineup as the new fall seasonal release. So go check it out on the shelves. Tasty IPA by the 21st Amendment. All right. Now, we should have my friends from Hop Revolution on the line. Let's see if this works, if I figured out how to do, like, international things here. We should have Susan and Jason. Are you guys here?
I'm here.
Yep, we're here.
There we go. It worked. This technology is amazing.
Wow, you don't even need an adapter.
I know. Didn't need an Australian adapter. Although... Jason and Susan, I did buy myself an international adapter just today in preparation for my trip to New Zealand.
Yep.
Fantastic. You're getting yourself organized, Justin.
I know, and it's such like a little thing, but it got me all excited. It felt like I was like, oh, this is really happening. I get to go to New Zealand.
I like how they already know you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, that's good. You're good. Yeah. Good job.
They're like,
you did
it. You might make it to the airport.
Yeah.
Did you buy that extra large suitcase to fold us all into so we can join you?
No. But you know I'll end up buying a big old suitcase in New Zealand and bringing home beer. So.
Yeah, that's just as good. Yeah.
And wine, too, right?
Let's go.
Jason, you were a wine guy in a previous life.
Yeah, wine guy. So you bring a big suitcase. You can. I think you can take about 5 or 6 bottles back. We'll take you around in Nelson, flick you over to Marlborough to taste some good old Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to pack your jandals and a little bit of sunblock. We've got plenty of hats down here, so you don't have to worry about that. We've got these really cool ones with just a grenade on them.
Yeah, perfect.
Did you say jandals?
Are those sandals?
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
We call them jandals.
Jandals.
So,
I like
pack
it.
One of those.
Why jandals?
Doesn't matter. It's better than thongs.
It's just our name. It's our special name for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've learned not to ask these things. Just let people be people. I am wearing my one-off only Hop Revolution shirt today, Jason.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I can picture you now.
It's quickly become one of my favorites. All right. So... we've got a lot to talk about, and mostly me being excited to come out and see what you guys are doing. But the last time we talked to you, of course, we just met Hop Revolution, and I promised my listeners that we'd sort of follow along in this journey. So Susan, how are things going with your crop so far?
Pretty good, Justin. The farm is waking up, so the plants that have been in the ground have sprung forth, and they look amazing.
Okay.
So we've got a fabulous team on the ground down here who have just spent all winter, making sure they're on top of the soil preparation, the weed control, they've strung the plants, and yeah, everything's waking up as it should, which is pretty exciting to see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the hardest part of my job is to get the rewalker plants that we need. So rewalker is, as we've found out, a pretty beloved New Zealand variety by a lot of American brewers.
Yeah.
And our time in the States, it was probably, I was getting asked for rewalker as much as we do about Nelson. But it's a hard one to grow. So we are throwing everything we can at it to make sure that we get the plants to the ground to try and get a crop for next year.
So I remember you saying that. In fact, I think I made fun of you a little bit for like this first year endeavor, because you said that Riowak is like super popular but difficult, and you were doing it anyway. What do you mean when you say throwing everything at it? Like, are you having to go overboard on fertilizer or you know, what's the real problem to get it going?
Yeah, almost a bit of everything, Dustin. It just seems like it needs a bit of a magic alignment of weather conditions and sun and fertilizer to really kickstart it.
Got it.
So I'm physically sitting here about 500 miles from Jason and the farm, because we're using facilities, a plant propagation facility that can offer us, you know, four different sorts of glass houses, outdoor conditions.
Oh, nice.
Try and come up with the secret recipe.
Got it. Oh, I didn't realize it. Well, first of all, because we're American, we're kind of dumb when it comes to geography. And I'm like, 500 miles? That's Australia, isn't it? Like, I always think everything seems tiny, but you guys, you're a big island.
Well, I am on the different islands. So, yeah, we have to basically ship plants down the North Island and then across Cook Strait, so a sea passage, and then to the farm on the other side.
Wow,
so
that's crazy.
It is a big endeavor, but
yeah.
It, in New Zealand, we had to find someone that could do what we need to do.
So just so I'm sure that I understand, you're propagating these rhizomes, this hop in these greenhouses elsewhere, and you will then move them to the farm and plant them there? Am I hearing that right?
Yep. So we've already started it, Justin. So we've already got plants that have been propagated, transported down, and then they're in the ground at our farm.
I see. Okay. Well, you're a professional. I have a house plant that I moved from one side of the room to the other, and it died. It didn't like it. So
to be fair, yeah, it's not a straightforward endeavor, and it's working, but it's sending me gray at the same time.
Sure. Okay. All right. And then, so the rest of the farm, though, is going well, and you guys are gearing up, I guess. Harvest is in March, right?
That's when you booked your ticket?
Well, harvest is whenever I booked my ticket, I hope, Susan. Actually, to be honest with you, I have a real question about that, because I've been talking to some brewers, well, actually some brewers that you met, like Roger Davis out here at Faction, and there seems to be some confusion about when exactly harvest is, but of course it's a crop, so there's going to be a window, but like, I didn't know if it's early March or late March. Some said maybe even like early April. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so we start pretty much, if it's a normal year, Justin, it will be right at the end of February, and
okay.
It goes through until very early April. But
got it.
The popular varieties are Riowaka and Nelson. They're earlier in the season, so if you want to come and see what Nelson's like in the field and you know, smell it before it's harvested and dried, mid-March would be perfect.
Okay, great, because I want to spend as much time there as possible, to be honest with you. Don't worry, I won't bug you guys the whole time, but I want to be in your country for as long as possible, and we have our beer festival like March 24th, so my thought was like late Feb, and then spend as long as I possibly can through the middle of March and not come back here until my 28th actually is my fest. So, but I want to be able to see something. I want to smell it like just before it's harvested. And you're thinking that might work right there.
I think we can make that work.
Nice.
Oh, so excited. They're changing the rules for me.
That's right. They're changing the weather just for you.
Yeah. They're making the hops ripen faster.
Yeah. Now, when we talked to you the last time, one of the things we were talking about, especially because of the sheer acreage, like, are you guys getting nervous about the amount of equipment and the amount of labor and, like, everything else you're going to have to gear up for right now? Because it seems like March feels really close to me. I'm not trying to stress you out, but to me it feels close.
We've getting labour on the farm actually hasn't been too bad, Justin. We've got a lot of backpackers that come down into New Zealand, so we get a heap of international visitors coming through from everywhere, really all around Europe, South America, and they're travelling around in camper vans, probably not too dissimilar to your one.
Oh yeah,
and they come through, and so looking for work, and it's been actually really good. We've also got some good locals that live in Nelson who have come onto the farm. We've employed some good local expertise off hop farms. For our sins, we're also bringing back a Kiwi, actually, from who's been living up in Yakima at Roy Farms. So there's a guy who went through university here and then married his American girlfriend and had a family up in the States. And so this is Sean Benson. He was a field operations manager at Roy Farms. So we convinced him to come back to New Zealand and help us out. So he's moving back down next week. And he's going to look after all of the field team. So Roy Farms were good enough to allow us to take him back, and hopefully he'll be a great addition to the team too. But now things are getting a bit more serious. We just ordered a whole lot of bind pullers, so they're all coming in from Germany. We spent a fair bit of time in Yakima and Oregon and Idaho on the hop farms up there, seeing everything, how it's all going, and looking at all the equipment that everyone had. So that scared the shit out of us, to be honest.
Oh, I bet.
And we thought, gee, these guys have got some great equipment. We need to get some of this stuff. So
yeah,
we've ordered up. We've got our spare parts list that that the guys have put together, which has also scared us. And we're looking at running the equipment up at the end of December, because where our farm is, actually the power out there, the power supply is really weak, so we have to run the whole thing on a generator. So we've got the generator the size of a small city. It costs about the same.
Wow.
And that's coming in from out of the country and getting installed, and so once that's in, then we can fire the whole thing up, and hopefully it'll all go.
Wow, I didn't even think about all of that stuff.
All the infrastructure.
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about it, too, but I guess as you're describing that, what I'm thinking is that, especially when you said something like we have our spare parts list, when you have, you've spent the whole year, you spent all this money, and you have all these hops sitting on the bine, ready to go, you can't fuck up.
They're time dependent. It's like grapes.
Yeah. So you can't, they can't be sitting there for 3 weeks while you wait for spare parts or something to get the. I guess that's part of the pressure I didn't really think about, too,
No. Well, it wasn't until we went on to some of the farms and actually saw what's involved in running the back end, conveyor belts and cogs and wheels and all those sorts of things that break down and move in parts. And having the mechanics there. We've got some really good local engineers and mechanics who are going to be on site.
Good. Yeah.
We've got a bit of help coming down from some of our friends up in the States who are going to work with us during the drying time, and we've also got the engineers and things coming over from Wolf in Germany. So we're going to have quite a good crew, but, as with everything, when you fire up machinery, there's always that learning curve. So, so as soon as they're ready to go, it's going to be all hands on deck.
Sure. It's good that you got brought back up like that, man. And also, just with technology in general, you can kind of plan everything. And then once you fire it all up, it's like inevitably all hell breaks loose. So for your first year here, I'm glad you got some backup,
No, it's going to be bloody interesting. We've got the Rugby World Cup going on at the moment. And as you were talking, it made me think we just had a change of provider. So the previous provider that's been screening the Rugby World Cup, which is the biggest event in New Zealand every few years, this has been filmed up in Japan, went to another provider. And of course, as the load came on, when everyone wanted to watch the games, it caused a fair bit of glitching and a fair few problems. But it's one of those things, you just don't know until you fire it up. So we'll do our best to prepare it, but I'm sure there's going to be a few sleepless nights at the beginning.
Oh, 100%.
It's not gray already. It's going to be gray by then.
So I was just at the Great American Beer Festival, just kind of the same sort of anecdote. They were trying to switch the judging 100% over to iPads for the first time ever. And they had been experimenting with it for a couple years, but this was the first year that that judges would not have to write on paper anymore.
Oh, good.
It's all through this software. Jeez. And you know what? They tested and retested and tested and retested, and it didn't matter when they fired them all up together all at once at the one time.
Stress test.
And this happens to me all the time. Every time I do a streaming broadcast from somewhere else, doesn't matter how much I test it, you know, there's just always something in there. So,
this will make you laugh, Justin. This is a classic. So in New Zealand, we've got 4.5 million people, we think. What happens is every 4 years we have what they call the census. So people go around and knock on every household door and ask how many people live there and what your ethnicity is and what you had for dinner and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the statistics came out. So a couple of years ago they decided to take all of that online. And, of course, a lot of people don't have computers. And so our census was an absolute disaster.
Oh.
And we, at the moment, don't even know how many people we've got here because no one logged on. So.
That is fantastic. Actually, it's probably worse than you don't know what you have. You have a bunch of false what you have.
Yeah, right.
You guys are like, wow, half our population's from California. That's very strange.
I love it.
You know.
How does that work?
Well, you know I'm wishing you guys luck, and I'm sure you'll do fine. You got a bunch of, it sounds like you have all the extra help there, so that's a good thing. Susan, have there been any... I don't know, any notable, I don't like to use the word disasters, but things you were like, hey, this was going to be a slam dunk, no problem at all, and then you're like, uh-oh, that was more difficult than I thought.
I think I've turned into one of those people, Justin, who fixates on weather reports.
Okay.
So we were expecting it to be a cold, wet spring, and it came true. So the weather has been wetter than we normally have, and it's colder. And in fact, even today, there was a fresh dusting of snow on the mountains behind the farm.
Snow?
It's super late. We haven't had a frost since the baby plants have gone in the ground. But it was interesting talking to some of the hop growers in Yakima. They had a very similar spring this year, and it brought them headaches. So I was lucky enough to be able to talk to some of them and head off some potential disasters. But yeah, weather is like my thoughts at the moment, and you know, with any luck, another week or two, we can probably breathe easily about frost being over.
So, first of all, I'm glad that the thing you're worried about is like the one thing you can't control. Like, I feel like that's healthy. Like, that's just fuck it. Like, it's going to be what it is. But also, when I picture New Zealand, I'm like, it's like the most wonderful climate on earth. So give me what's cold. You can give it to me in Celsius because I brought Google up so I can convert it. But like, what is cold?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, where I'm sitting today, Justin, it's a balmy 68 degrees Fahrenheit. I've just done the conversion too.
Thank you.
But we get big swings still, so we can go down to a frost. So, you know,
32 for us,
Celsius.
Okay.
Pretty much right up until the end of this month on the farm.
Okay.
So we're not totally in the clear, but we're almost in the clear.
And with the state of the plants right now, are they sprouting above ground or they're underground so a frost doesn't matter? Or both?
No, so they're climbing up the strings now, Justin.
Okay.
So, you know, they're big. They're probably, you know, meter. Now I have to go back into feet, don't I? They're probably like 3-4 feet high, some of them now.
Yeah,
so
okay.
A frost would take off their tips and they would have to grow back from lower down on the plant. So it would slow them down. It wouldn't help them.
Okay.
But it then starts messing with them.
And you're saying that happened in Yakima Valley too, that they had, so maybe they lost the top and it just everything slowed down is all.
Yeah, I think they mostly had just slow growth, Justin. So stuff that, you know, it didn't progress as a normal season for them. So, you know, this is the beauty of climate change or, you know,
right.
The odd season where I think we're having more atypical seasons, and that'll be, you know, really interesting going forward.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope it warms up then.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to think warm thoughts for you.
I know, yeah. We are, yeah. Susan also sent me, because they, Susan heard I had my little Volkswagen bus, sent me links to where I can rent a VW bus and be a hippie in New Zealand.
There you go.
While I'm there and drive around. Nice. With the other backpackers that are going to be working on your farm.
That's right.
Yeah, they might put you to work.
You know what? I'll work for a day or two. I can be...
Let's slow down.
I can be not lazy for like a day.
Well, let's slow down.
I like that you offer a day up for us, Justin. So,
yeah. Susan, you know what, Susan? I'll do whatever you say. You know, she'll be like, a day. Get your ass back out there. Okay. I promise.
What do you like in driving a tractor?
Oh, I would totally drive a tractor.
You should.
That sounds fun.
There's probably no other workers. It's you.
Yeah, that's
like,
why.
Okay.
That's why I'm being invited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally drive a tractor, though. I think I've driven a tractor once, even. So everything will be great. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
just point me in the right direction.
You don't even need to tell me what to do.
Clutch, brake, shifter.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. And listen, as I've been talking to brewers lately, and I don't know if it's just because it's on my radar now that I've been hanging out with you guys, but like New Zealand hops just keep coming up more and more, it seems like. Brewers talking about going to half the people I've said, brewers anyway, I'm like, hey, I'm going to New Zealand for hop harvest. They're like, so am I. So I feel like, I don't know if you guys are at your peak of popularity or rising up in popularity, or I just wasn't paying enough attention before. Yeah. But American brewers are into New Zealand hops.
Yeah, we when we were traveling around after we met with you, we must have called into probably 50 or so brewers across the states, and what we tried to do was sell the holiday coming down in February, March, and doing the Abel-Tasman walk, seeing the West Coast, and to be honest, it didn't take a lot of convincing for people. I think they just thought, man, if we can get a business trip, come down for a bit of a holiday, do a bit of mountain biking, get on the beach, do some hiking, call it a hop trip. If I can get it past the boss, I'm there. So, so we did our best to talk people up. But we also have a symposium down here, which is in early April. Won't work for your timing.
Yeah.
But, so there's a bit of technical conference as well. So, nice. No, I think it'll be absolutely awesome. We always have good weather at that time of year too. So it's well worth escaping the winter and getting down this way.
Sounds
it
good.
Is. And I heard that the boys from Garage Project have like a festival around April. Bev, you can do Springfest without me, right? You don't need me around here. I can.
I quit.
We've been going. Come on, we've been doing it for. It'll be our. It's 11 years. It's a piece of cake. You'll be fine. I'm gonna stay.
Last year when we were short staffed and it was the worst Spring Fest of my life.
Yeah.
This year you're not gonna show up.
I'm gonna leave. I mean, I'm just saying there's a small chance I'm really gonna like it there.
There's a large chance I will quit.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Is shooting across.
Teresa, you want to run Spring Fest and I'll just bring Beav to.
Yeah, I'm super good at that.
Oh, that I totally. No support.
See?
No.
One of our TV networks is for sale down here, Justin. You could come on down, make a cheeky offer, and set up shop down here.
Oh, I'm great on television. I did that for a while too. People love me on TV. I look like a homeless guy.
That's right.
who knows about beer, basically. All right, you two. I'm excited. So keep me up to date. Do you guys have, were you putting up some social media or a blog or photos or anything we can direct anybody to?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, what do you have?
We've got an Instagram page, Justin. We've got a website that we've actually, funnily enough, after the first interview with you, we got approached by quite a few brewers who had heard us on your show about whether or not they could get New Zealand hops. So we love hearing from brewers and people. So, you know, check in and you can send Jason or I emails or get in touch via Instagram.
So go Instagram. It's Hop Revolution. Of course, the website is hoprevolution.co.nz, and there's a big old contact button right there on the top right, and I'm sure that'll go straight to you guys. And I'm glad that brewers were responding. Like I said, people want New Zealand hops, so that's cool.
Yeah, no, we were stoked. Met some great people, tried some great beer, and to be honest, I can't wait to go back. So there's plenty of places I want to explore, and plenty more brewers to meet.
Absolutely. All right, well, I'll come to New Zealand, you come back to the U.S., and we'll just keep trading off back and forth. I like this idea.
Awesome. Oh, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Susan. Guys. Thanks, Jason. Don't stress out too much and keep us up to date, okay?
Will do.
Have fun.
See
bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
There we go.
Boo-doo.
Yeah. Hang up on them real quick. They're nice people.
Yeah,
they're
like
so
it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You weren't here for that show.
I was not, no.
I wasn't here for it either. I was like, I listened to it.
Oh, you did, yeah.
No, I wasn't there. And I was like, oh, dang. I gotta like pull some BN strings to try to get some of those hops, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that we can do. I'm sure we can get you some hops.
For sure.
And also, like, the Kiwis make the, I've said this before, they make the Canadians look like assholes. They're like,
totally.
they're that nice.
Wow. Yeah.
So I had written to them after that show, like, hey, I am interested in coming to this hop harvest. And I was just asking the dates. And then they answered that and sent me a giant list because I think the Kiwis have a good like work life balance. So they answered my work question in like two sentences and then spent another entire email telling me places I should visit while I'm there.
Nice.
They're like, you need
Beautiful.
To go to this island and Jason lives over here. Hang out at that one. Susan lives over here. Go there. We all vacation over here. Here's a link to where you can rent a VW bus and travel the whole country in it. And like, so they have like this, they're just kind and have this good like work life balance thing that I really like. So good people. But I'm going to admit, I'm a little worried for them. The stress of this like first crop would, I wouldn't deal with it well. I think the Kiwis probably deal with it better.
Well, especially after that hop panel that we were talking to some of the growers and they were mentioning, like, we know a lot of stuff that you can't just learn.
Yeah.
You have to experience it. And we have the luck of generations behind
us. Well, they're smart to spend so much time listening to Yakima
100%
hop growers. I mean, honestly, that's the best way to learn anything is to, you know, use your ears and mouth in appropriate amounts and and really like
they're doing that.
Ask the questions. So
they're going to be fine. I just think like I would just be like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god,
well,
the whole time.
But they're.
I think it sounds like they know They know shit's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but you don't, even though you don't know what it is, as long as you know that something will go wrong, I think you're better off for it. Mm-hmm. And
you're right.
I think that
you
they sound more prepared for it. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, we knew this, something was going to happen because we've never done that before.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why
I don't know why I yelled. I'm sorry.
That's how I work with Brewing Network staff all these years. I know something's going to go wrong.
That's
I
right.
just plan for that to happen.
Yeah. And it does.
Well, and you roll with the punches. You don't get all, like,
mostly.
You don't get demoralized.
Mostly.
Are you. Yeah, you try not to get demoralized.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly.
God right. bless.
Well, Hop Revolution, go to hoprevolution.co.nz. And I know brewers want to get a hold of it. I don't know that they're not going to have hops for like every brewer, but we will follow along with them. And maybe in years to come, they will. So I mean,
they have a projected yield, but they don't know their actual yield, obviously. Or what's reoccurring or anything like that. So
it's
going to be a really big learning curve.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Brave souls out there.
All right. Speaking of brave souls.
Uh-oh.
You ever tried to shave your nether region with like a regular razor?
I have.
Well, Manscaped has solved this terrifying problem.
Good, because it is very terrifying.
Go to Manscaped.
It's like whack-a-mole. You like go down with the thing and they go shrink up. And
I need a full scaping right now too, because Manscaped had sent us a bunch of samples.
Yeah.
But they've been here in the studio, and I've just been waiting. Like, I'm not going to do it the old way when I've been waiting to use the new way.
That's right.
So I'm going to bring my... I finally got to bring my Manscaped box home today because they have... what's that thing called? Like the... I gave one to you.
Plow.
The Lawnmower 2.0.
No, you gave me the plow because you gave away my lawnmower.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, the lawnmower is the electric trimmer. Right. Lawnmower 2.0 now,
which
has a proprietary skin-safe technology so that it does not nick or snag.
Yeah. Which the word snag in conjunction with skin is not, is like, it's a visual that...
No, yeah.
It's good marketing in the sense that you already exactly, immediately understand what they're getting at.
As a guy, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, say no more.
Yeah. Yes, Teresa, you were going to chime in on
that. Well, I was just thinking about, okay, what is the plow? What's the lawnmower? And I was like, okay, wait a minute. The plow
The plow's like a straight razor, actually.
It's a safety razor.
It's a safety razor, but like, kind of, I don't know. Was it safe?
I feel like, look, this might sound a little bit twisted, but do you want to know how I got these scars? Like, I cut myself.
From a different razor.
From a different razor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the plot, yeah, it's safe. And what's interesting about it is that, so I have two of these.
Okay.
Two plows?
Two straight razors, or two safety razors.
Two safe, one from Manscaped.
That would be
straight
free.
Razor, I'm fully pulled out.
That's what that is, but this, it's a safety razor. So it's, you know, like in the
it
movies, like in the 80s, where you take the thing.
Accuracy of a straight razor,
okay,
but without the danger, without full the, on danger of the straight razor.
It looks like a regular, like, razor.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a replaceable, and by the way, the benefits of these.
I mean, I really appreciate all the explanations. Yeah. I need to.
The benefits of safety razors, the razors are super cheap.
They're mansplaining the manscaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. But anyway.
At least that's acceptable, I feel like.
But some of them have different weights. So I have two that are not from Manscaped. They're not the plow. I have two other ones. And the weights are different. The lengths of the handle are different, and how it manages the blade itself is different. This one is very light, and you can move it around on your skin very, very easily.
But don't move it too fast.
But don't move it too fast, because it's a friggin' razor. And you know, you're dumb like me. But what is interesting is like how much pressure you have to apply to your neck to get underneath. It just depends on where the angle is of the blade, because when you put it on the housing, it bends a little bit. It's a whole thing, man.
So see, I won't use the plow for all of these things. I use like a different, like a razor on my, like electric razor on my face and everything. Yeah. I don't use any hand straight razor things.
Yeah.
So I won't use a plow.
Okay.
But I am excited to try the lawnmower, because apparently no nicks.
That would be great. Yeah.
Do you want me to give it to you after I'm done using? You want to try it when I'm like, I'll use it, then you can use
really
it. Do you
don't.
Want to like that?
No, I really don't.
Do you want me to see if Manscaped will send me another sampler, or I can get it back from Aaron?
I really don't want that either.
You don't want me to get okay.
That's fine. I'm fine with the plow. The plow works really well. If you want to shave with you know, a proper razor, and
use the plow. Manscaping says that accidents are now a thing of the past, so you can use the safety trimmer, like I'm going to use the plow. They also have what's called the crop preserver, which is an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer.
Yeah.
That did I give you some of that?
No,
I think
you
that's
literally
in the
gave
box.
Me the plow.
We need to go through the box and get the... Because basically, they say, like, you put deodorant on your armpits, why wouldn't you...
On your ball pits.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
I thought it was for pH.
Put it in the
you're
dugout.
Not supposed to.
pH
balanced.
That's
for a man,
but also
for a woman.
Strong enough for a woman.
Strong enough for a woman.
Yeah,
but I
can't find my coupon code.
Are those smelling like a man?
Are those the are those the wipes?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, the wipes. I haven't used. I should have brought those this weekend because I didn't shower this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't. You should have, dude. I would have really appreciated
Jesus.
It.
I should have brought them this weekend, mostly because I did. Yeah.
Well, and then the beauty about those is they have two sides, so you can share those with your buddies.
No, you can't.
You just flip them over.
What's wrong with that?
You just get all your parts out and you just like pass them back and forth. No problem.
Look, you know what? Being a human being is stinky. Everybody's parts are smelly. This will definitely help.
I don't have the coupon code in my list here, but I'm pretty sure it's brewing. Anyway, use coupon code brewing. I hope it's that.
Yeah.
Must be that.
Go back to another show and listen.
Manscaped.com. Use coupon code brewing. You're going to get 20% off plus free shipping.
Which is such a good deal. I mean, come on. That's actually two deals in
your
one.
Your balls will thank you.
Yeah.
And Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming.
Oh, yeah. Buy them for your friends.
Yeah. Santa will thank you.
Send Justin extra wipes.
Yeah. How many wipes are in here?
I thought that all the wipes were taken by somebody, and then you gave away the package that was meant for me.
There's so much stuff in here. Yeah. It's like keys.
Beards.
Hair.
I think it's just a trash receptacle now.
There's like a napkin holder.
Yeah. Oh, he's on camera.
All right, well, I got to get it all out of here and use it on my balls. It's not doing any good sitting in here.
No.
Clearly. Manscaped.com. Check it out.
There we go.
Okay. I did that. All right. Next week, homebrew topic. I think we're talking about how to compete in homebrew competitions, how to compete and win. Not just how to enter, you know.
That's right.
Who cares? How to compete and win. Is that right, Beav?
That is correct.
Okay. So we'll be doing that. Yeah. First homebrew topic in a while.
Yeah, for sure.
So that'll be fun. Kind of. You know.
No, everybody loves to win.
That's right. Yeah. Well, then on the 4th, I believe, is making hard seltzer.
Oh.
At home, too. So we're going to have two.
With Flattail and Sully.
Flattail Dave.
And 2NA.
Oh, Sully. That's right.
I think it's Flattail and 2NA, right? Because I think Sully's into
Sully
the seltzer thing.
Oh, really?
So
I'm getting white girl drunk.
You're going to have to. Yeah. I'm going to miss that, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here that week. But you guys will have fun. You'll do great. I'm sure of it.
Sure.
But next week, we'll do homebrew competition.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to our guests today, Alvarado Street. They were a lot of fun and brought us a lot of great beer, and I appreciate that. Thanks to Sierra Nevada once again for hosting us this weekend, and especially to Byron.
Yeah.
Up there. He's a good guy. And thanks to Hop Revolution for my new favorite shirt.
That's right.
With a hop grenade on it. It belongs to me.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Is that their logo?
No.
Oh, okay. They just made it
you missed
it. For you.
Yeah. That's how I found them. So this, again, is how nice the Kiwis are. Jason sends me an email, random email, like, hey, we're this new hop company, Hop Farm, did a Google search, thought we had the perfect logo, and found you, so I wanted to send it to you. I think it's different enough. You know, we take a look and whatever. And I was like, wow. Number one, thank you for writing to me at all. That never happens. It's always like I find you, or our listeners generally find you.
Yeah.
So that was really nice of you. And then unfortunately, no, I'm sorry. All the hop grenades belong to me. Even if it's just like a variation, it really doesn't matter. And he was like, you know what? Totally cool. No problem. Going to make another logo. I'll send you that one for approval. And I'm like, we don't have to do that. Like,
If it's not a hop grenade.
But he's so nice about it. And then he's like, hey, by the way, now that we know you, do you want to work together a little bit and like talk about what we're doing out here? And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. Then he said, we already had some merchandise made. I'm going to burn it all.
Jesus.
And I'm like, Jason, you don't have to go this far. Like, you can give it to your staff or something. He's like, nope. I'm going to bring you a hat and a t-shirt, Justin, and I'm burning the rest.
Well, Justin, I'm burning it now.
Yeah. I was like, Jason, you're so, like, again, they're so nice.
That's cool.
It's so, like the best thing to come out of a disagreement.
Right? Yeah. Like, ever.
It's a trip to New Zealand.
Ever.
It's a trip to New Zealand, yeah.
Where
they're actually
going to
light me on fire and then steal the hop grenade logo is probably what's going to happen.
Perfect.
The Wicker Man, but sort of not.
Yeah.
As long as somebody comes back here to help me with...
Well, he's leaving after, so you have at least until Oktoberfest.
I'm like, seriously, I was looking at the calendar today. I was like, can I, like, fly back and then back?
You can.
Do I just go after them? But then the Craft Brewers Conference is in April. I'm struggling with my New
where
Zealand
time. Where is
that
time. This year?
Yeah, where is that?
The beer
San Antone.
Oh, nice.
San Antonio, Texas.
PBC, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a World Beer Cup year, so I got to go do the awards. You going to go?
I'm going to go.
Teresa? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been to San Antonio. I'm looking forward to that. I've been to Houston. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to San Antonio.
San Antone. Sounds good.
What's that fucking salsa? That old New York City.
Pace Picante.
New York Pace Picante sauce.
I don't know why I thought of that at the same time. San Antone just made me think of that. All right. JP, get us out of here.
We have a Twitter game, motherfucker.
Okay.
How dare you?
I thought I asked if I did everything.
No.
What was our Twitter game?
I thought you remembered.
Theme song for Beardy.
Sure.
Exit song.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one. I can't wait.
Our friend Pete DeDink, he says, the song would be Drive by Braille by Crash Test Dummies.
Okay.
Like, yeah, damn.
But that's like, that's his everyday song.
For sure. But that was like the one right, like, he replied a minute after I posted that. Right out of the gate.
Like you've been sitting on it.
Just a slam dunk, drive-by braille by the crash test dummies.
Right.
Paul Bruce says, window down, beard flowing in the wind, and the National Lampoon theme song blasting out of the speakers in his well-maintained camper, which I feel like is a dig for at you. Also, his camper is very well maintained.
It is very well maintained. Yeah.
I've never been in it before.
It's like he has nothing else to do. Because his is, I think, older than mine and in way better. In fact, Shimke refused to even ride with me. She kept coming up with excuses to not ride in
Brought him home because I drove separately.
Yeah.
I brought her home because she's like, I don't.
And Beardy brought her there and she was just like, oh, I just want to spend more time with Beardy. And I'm like, I get it, Shimpy. Yeah. It's fine.
No way. It was definitely your we're out of brakes. We're driving down from Mammoth story.
Well, that is also Warren.
She was
Warren
in the RV.
Telling,
she made it.
Yeah. It was also Warren telling everybody that everything's falling off the frame.
Wasn't that when she made it? When she was dying?
But
you
she
guys
was
were making
sick,
fun of her?
But that's because she was hungover and dying, not because my RV is awful.
Yeah, well, so afraid. Maybe she just she connected out. That memory to your RV. And
I also
she's like,
spent
I just can't.
$2,500 replacing the fucking brakes after that trip. I think, you know what? I think this is part of the pussification of the Brewing Network, actually.
Oh,
that Kim,
no.
That Shimke can't even ride in an RV anymore.
You are not throwing Kim under the RV.
Yeah.
Now that you
brought it up, and I'm just going with it.
I'm telling you, Kim this weekend gave me the nicest compliment I've had from a human being in like a year.
Really?
Yeah, what was it? I'm not going to tell you.
It's private? Ooh. Private compliment?
It's private. Okay. It's private, right. But right. I was like... He's still my heart. Like, I'm her biggest fan.
All right, well, I think she's a fucking sissy. Yeah.
Well.
I think you're both right.
Shut the fuck up, Justin.
Yeah. Oh, damn, there it is.
Damn.
Fair. Yeah. Fair.
Damn.
All right. The National Lampoon song is like holiday. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess.
I mean, what else, you know, what else do you need? Oh, did that comment?
Did you lose all your things?
No. I thought
I'm going to shave my balls real quick while I'm waiting. got the thing right here. I'm just going to see how it works.
Okay, no, one more. All By Myself from Eric Cartman is playing as he drives away. A single salty tear runs down his cheek and wets his golden beard. And that's from Keith Allen.
Wanna be all by myself.
I'm going to shave right now.
It's on.
Everyone,
it's on.
Sit on your speakers. You're shaving.
You're not supposed to shave your face.
Well, right? I was just seeing how it felt real quick. It's got a little plastic guard on there.
Yeah. Well, there's no rule you can't shave your face with.
No.
It is cute.
It's got a couple guards.
It's
in case you want to keep your ball hair long.
I think it's ergonomic in shape. Like when you cradle in your hand, it probably feels
pretty
nice.
It does
nice.
Feel good.
Yeah. It's contoured.
It
looks a little bit like a vibrator.
Oh, God. I personally hear Envision Warren driving away to Lionel Richie's Say You, Say Me playing. just what I see.
Did it come with a pen or was that in my hand?
Oh, my God.
In your hand, dummy.
I see.
Yeah, it came with a pen with a cap on the bottom.
Like a basic
Are you having a stroke?
Did it come with burning toast? Because I smell it somewhere and I don't know if it's in this box or I'm just hungry.
All right, All By Myself. I got it.
All right. That's it.
That's it?
That's it, man.
I'm disappointed.
Me too. First of all, nothing was really very funny, and then we didn't really get a lot of responses. I mean, we got some, but I didn't really include them.
I think somebody should have wrote in freedom. Maybe he was like, yes, striking out.
Right.
Maybe all the sadness was just for our benefit.
I think maybe just...
True.
Warren is actually also dead to our listeners. They just don't care.
Nobody cares enough to even think about a good song for him.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to All By Myself, I guess. At least that one I could picture happening, you know.
Okay. Mm. There we go.
All By Myself.
Good job, Keith.
Okay.
Great.
I wonder if he made it.
I know he made it to Reading last night.
So you made it for like an hour?
Like,
yeah, I guess.
And then stayed in Reading?
I called him today.
Is he not giving you guys like text updates?
No, I wouldn't want text updates.
I told him he's
honestly.
Dead.
Yeah, who cares?
I want to hear from him.
Flagged leave you spam. For a minute.
He's gone. I don't want to hear anything.
Okay, I'm going to ask him to give me text updates. He's and like I'm going
to report
send
to
them on to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're not driving right now. I called him because I'm like, I figured you'd be driving and you can't text. I want to talk to you about something. And he's like, no, I'm just making food. Where the fuck are you, Reading? Why aren't you moved? Like,
so he was in worse shape than any of us because Reading was like, is Reading even in the right direction? I feel like that's an hour
from there. How
far
away is Reading from Chico?
It's not far. It's really not far. It's 30 minutes?
40 minutes?
An hour and 16 minutes.
That's how far he made it.
There's a lot of meth in Reading.
There's a lot of math here. Well, that's how. Maybe how he was going to make the rest
you'll
of the
trip. You'll be in Bellingham by Bellingham
started
right now.
His meth habit.
Yeah.
Dang it all.
Okay.
That's going to get all stuck in his beard.
Yeah. Can't have a beard like that and do meth. Fire hazard. Okay. Are we done?
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Alvarado Street Brewery. Go to alvaradostreetbrewery.com. Thanks to Hop Revolution. Go to hoprevolution.co.nz. And I don't know. Thanks to CR.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. JC, Biggie, and Party Wave Dave from Alvarado Street Brewery joined us in studio and shared some goofy stuff with us. Learn more about them over at alvaradostreetbrewery.com. If you like Disneyland and want to know more about it, check out earsuppodcast.com and support JP in his quest to soak up his free time not making any money. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith and Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, and Warren at Another Beardy. Keep track of JP over on Instagram at Major Jip, Teresa at Pasuti Brews, and Crooked Lane Brewing, and you can find Bevo there as well at Beverly and Moore. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning the race. JP.